Access main program. Access main security. Access main program grid.
You didn't say the magic word.
Please! God damn it! I hate this hacker crap!
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Yeah.
What's that thing get, 10 miles to the gallon?
Nah, try like 7. What about you?
Biodiesel, dog.
Smells like egg rolls.
Yeah, it does. Runs on leftover fry oil from Hunan Palace. But we try to ride bikes when we can, global crisis and whatnot.
Whatever, man. I don't care about anything.
Oh, you don't care about the environment? It's kind of fucked up, man.
Hey, will y'all shut the hell up? I'm trying to study.
Look at him. He's trying. He's actually trying. What a nerd. Look at the nerd. Nerd. Look at him. Look at the nerd.
Who you calling a nerd, man?
I'm sorry, what?
Ow! Oh! Shit, dude.
Hey, are you okay, man?
Hey, what the hell? Are you serious?
I'll turn that gay-ass music off.
You punch me because I'm gay?
What? No. Oh, come on.
That's not cool, man.
That is really insensitive.
I didn't punch him because he's gay. I punched him, and then he happened to turn out to be gay afterwards.
I was gay when you punched me!
In a weird way, it might have been homophobic not to punch you just because you were gay.
Right.
You punched a little gay black kid in the face. It's not even second period. How do you explain that?
Miss Daddy, I'm so sorry about that. I just...
Look, guys, I'm going to relate to you, okay? A kid died the other day from drugs, and nobody, including me, is doing anything about it. That's weird, guys. And then you two show up with 30 days left, causing trouble in my school. I am one more black gay kid getting punched in the face away from a nervous breakdown. Do I make myself clear? You guys cross my line again, and you walk into this office, I'm going to expel you. You got me? All right, let's do this. Which one of you is Doug? Let's do that again and pretend you guys aren't weird. Which one of you is named Doug?
No, dude, I'm Brad.
Okay, good. So that means your name is Doug, son.
Yeah, I'm Doug.
Great. Here are your class schedules. You're funny, I wouldn't have taken you for the brainy type. I wouldn't. But you, as a drama geek, far less surprising.
You look really old. Were you held back or something? Or?
No. You look super young. Were you held forward?
Oh, shit. When did I get stabbed? It's awesome!
Yeah! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! Hello, everyone! It is the rare, what do you call it, the Saturday Nowhere Mulberry? Hello,
the
everyone.
Sabbath show.
Yes. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's time for the entertainment landfill. I almost said Nowhere in Mulberry, but it's all you the same it. Thing. I hope everyone dug our first entertainment landfill, which was technically our third entertainment landfill, but now I'm just confusing myself, Bill.
But, no, I don't follow.
Yeah, I don't follow either, but I am the J-Strom. Welcome, everyone. And with me is Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. Now, you sound a little strange. It sounds like you are not where you're usually at when you do a show.
Really?
Yeah.
What's up? What does it sound like?
So
I need to fix the levels?
No, you just sound like you're on the phone or...
Really?
I don't know. It just sounds a little different. Like, I don't know. You know, you sound good though. I can hear you and everything. It just sounds different.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Somewhat. Yes. Maybe. I mean, I'm like looking at my levels now. Like, is everything okay?
No, I can hear. I'm just telling you, it just sounds different. Like you're using a different kind of microphone or.
No, not at all.
You know, it's just, I have those Gary Rydstrom type ears that I'm here with, so I can pick up on everything. Just
no, you know what? I think I might have changed my levels a little earlier, changed some options, but I didn't know they would affect anything.
It sounds like you're in a more cramped environment, maybe in a closet or something.
Oh, no, I'm in the closet. I'm in at my desk in my room, and I'm the same place I'm normally at.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what's weird is usually on the show is we do it on Friday, and
yes.
Nobody's home except for me and Steven and the dog baby, you know?
You mean the dog.
Yeah, but today both my wife and daughter are here, so I'm basically going like, shush, shush, be quiet, just stop it.
Just go about your business, it's fine.
Yeah, so if you hear them in the background, that's all it is. But let's pretend we're in a radio station. We're downtown Mulberry, Bill, in the cultural district.
Is that my new name, Downtown Mulberry Bill?
Yes. Someone said, is it now Landfill Bill?
And Landfill like, Bill. No, I like that.
It's still Mulberry Bill. So, no, nothing like that. But I'm sad to say that Steven isn't here.
Yeah, he went to Austin, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, the TRS-80's back.
I think so. It's malfunctioning right now. But Steven went to see Bob Mould.
I don't know who that is.
Bob Mould. I know who it is, but he's very well known in the... From Husker Du.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I got it. Yep.
Yeah.
Fell under easy listening. I know Sugar. Yep. Okay.
Exactly. I
got
know.
It.
So he's like a
Give that woman a microphone.
Yeah.
Where the F is Steven?
I'm trying to tell you that, but...
I didn't know he was doing solo projects.
Yeah, for years. It's just been Bob Mould, I believe.
That's actually pretty cool.
I couldn't tell you any of his music, but I could easily, like, you probably type Bob Mould song on, like, YouTube and find one.
Oh, I'm sure. Did he drive down to Austin, or did he fly down?
He drove down. And you know what's
interesting? Wait, is Austin above you or below you? It's below you, right?
Below.
Okay.
Austin is relatively below where we live. Or is
it's
little
like 3 hours away or something.
It's down into the... Like, if I was looking south, it's down into
okay,
the...
Okay, I see you standing on Texas.
It's southern... southeast, I'm going to say. Holy shit, I'm so bad at direction. So just let's change the subject.
Good thing for OnStar.
Oh man, this is so crazy. I gotta explain to you is we were supposed to start the show right at 5, mm-hmm. and I got a text from you saying, "Where are you?" And it literally was like, "Holy shit!" Like, you know how you like your brain tells you how long 30 minutes is from now. Like, you've got plenty of time to do this, this, and this. And I totally lost track of time.
Oh, really?
Like,
I was just worried because it was like, normally I'll tell you, hey, I'm going to head home, I'm going to take a nap, and then you're on me like 10 minutes before the show. You're always messaging me like, hey, you ready to do the show? Like, as the, hey, wake up, sleepy head.
We ate lunch. And Emma wanted to play on the computer, so I was letting her. You know, she sits at the computer, you know, and she can play on for an hour or whatever. And I said, you know, I'm doing a show at 5, and I need to get on the computer. But she was completely preoccupied on the computer, so I went and did my other thing. Like, I was eating, and I was looking at our subscription for Food Network magazine at the table.
Oh, you have Food Network magazine. I didn't know they had a magazine.
We got a free subscription to it. It's kind of silly.
I'm getting Cooking Channel magazine myself.
So I told Emma, I said, hey, I'm going to go lay down in the bed. Because
you said, hey!
This is what happened. Okay, I never nap. I'm not a napper. I wake up and I feel like shit, my head hurts, and I'm groggy. But this morning, she had an eye doctor appointment at 8 a.m. 8 a.m.! And this
That's
is
a
like,
ridiculous time.
It's like a 30-minute drive also. So
That's almost as bad as a birthday party at 10 a.m.
So I got up at 6 a.m. this morning, and I went to bed like past 1 last night. So we went and took her, and I was tired, and Heather was like, you've been saying you wanted to go to Whole Foods. Why don't we go to Whole Foods after this? So I was like, oh, okay, let's go. And so I don't know if you've ever been to Whole Foods, but it's very...
I hate Whole Foods. I honestly hate it.
It's narrow, and it's too crowded.
Yep, there's too many people, and everything is way too expensive, and it's just, I can't stand Whole Foods.
So we got back, you know, we loaded up on all the stuff, like... I got my super greens, lettuce, and all that stuff. And
oh, nice.
I got some chia seeds.
Ooh.
And I got
that
some...
That is the... Chia seeds have the weirdest mouthfeel ever.
I bet. Ever. I'm going to sprinkle it, like, on my oatmeal in the morning.
There you go. That's what you do. Because I normally... What I'll do is I'll take, like, a tablespoon of them and just chew them in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it just turns into this gelatinous strangeness in your mouth.
Yeah. Also got some pumpkin seeds.
Nice.
But,
some pepitas?
What's that?
I believe that's what they are when they're roasted.
Oh, okay.
Shell pepitas.
So anyway, we get back, and then I realize, oh, I got to go do some things. I got to finish for the show that we were going to do the show yesterday, and something came up where we didn't. So I was pretty
Yeah, my dad had a little respiratory problem.
Right. And he's doing okay now.
Yeah, he's fine now. Basically, he was overworked in therapy. And the therapists were unaware that he was not supposed to be overworked because of his right-sided heart failure. So after exercising vigorously, he had a buildup of carbon dioxide in his blood. And it made him loopy and stupid. So I had to call the doctor and like, listen... He hasn't had his sleep study yet, but he's all loopy. I don't want him to have to go to the hospital. Can you put an order in for CPAP machine so that I can just bring him my spare one and let him deal with it? And finally, the doctor got back to me and said, yeah, it's fine. I'll submit the order now. Just bring your machine to him. Get it on him. And I put it on him last night at 7 p.m. He didn't know anything until 9 a.m. today. Like, so he needed it bad, and it when he got up this morning, he was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and clear-headed and everything, so it worked. It was perfect.
Good. So, basically, I was working on the show, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep working on the show, and we'll do it tomorrow. But then I was like, hey, maybe I could go see Oblivion And I looked at the times, and it was starting in like an hour and a half. And I was like, okay, let me drop what I'm doing here, and let me get a hold of Steven. And so I went to see the film. So then I realized that I needed to finish some stuff today, right?
Yeah.
So I finished the break and all that stuff. And then I had to go to the store to get a few things and get the car washed. You know, just do stupid little chores real quick.
Sure.
So I get back around 3 and eat. And I tell Emma, I said, I'm going to go lay down for 10 minutes, okay?
Just 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I said, whatever you do, don't call me if you need anything. Come and get me.
Hey, whatever you do, don't call me?
Yeah, don't go, Daddy.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather her come and get me and say, Daddy, I need this, this, and this.
Yeah, you don't want her to startle you. Just come in and get you.
I started having that feeling that you get when you don't sleep at all and you stay up all night.
Yeah.
I started feeling that kind of exhaustion kind of feeling. Because I didn't get enough sleep. So I went and laid down, and next thing I knew, my phone goes, makes that sound, and it's Bill at 5:01 saying, hey, where are you? So I was like, oh, sir. I felt like the way Steven does every day of his life, basically.
you're in the drunkenness of nappy.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
Yeah. You've caught me with that many times before.
Is this me or Steven? Is this me?
That person has sleep apnea.
Hey, what's going on? Hopefully it didn't sound like this. So anyway, I'm like, Heather, get out of here. Like, going in the living room. I gotta start the show. And I'm, like, hooking up the recorder.
Wait, you told your family to get out of your house?
Everybody, get out of... No, I just told them to get out of the living room. Like,
oh, okay.
Start the show. Gotta start show. And I'm, like, just, like, fumbling around and everything.
The show's already started. Without me.
TRS-80, activate stream. So anyway, now we're going though. Everything's okay, Bill. Right?
I think we had someone in the chat room earlier, but now we have no one.
Aww.
Stream okay. Activating.
Oh, good. It's starting now.
I thought it was already started.
Power up. Woohoo! I got nothing. But anyway, we're here. And that's the good news, right, Bill?
Yes.
And luckily, I had prepared everything, so we're good to go now. But,
thank God.
I don't know if you knew this, Bill, but today's 4/20.
I did know it, because it's the day. It's also Record Store Day.
Oh, yeah. Heather was actually telling me that it was Record Store Day, and I was like, what does that mean? How do we celebrate it? And I think we're just supposed to go buy a record, right?
Well, no, what it is it's a big day that it's about supporting local music stores, like independent record stores, but also there are special releases from certain, like different bands and in limited editions, like limited pressings. And
nice.
It's really cool. Like there's some really rare stuff that comes out or stuff that hasn't seen the light of day for a very long time that's pressed in limited amounts. It's some pretty cool stuff.
What is there out there that it's like your Rosetta Stone, your Lost Ark of the Covenant kind of thing?
Let's see here. I wrote like a whole list of things that I wanted today, but I think
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Yes, yeah. Come On, Eileen was pressed on a 7-inch, you know, brand new version. There were a couple Animals albums that I wanted that came out, and I'm trying to think just going down the list. There's a ton of stuff. It's just – it's one of those things where there's only a handful of them pressed, and then
– Howard Jones' dishes.
Let's say – yeah. Well, you know what I really wanted was the Bon Jovi Live 12-inch picture disc.
Nice.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Most excellence.
But, no, there's just, like, they'll press, like, 500 of something, and if there's 250 stores participating, then each store maybe gets two albums, and then you have people fighting over them. Like, last year I went, and people actually fought over stuff.
Are you serious?
Because the line gets about, I don't know, 50, 60 deep, and then they open the doors, and everyone runs in and tries to grab what they want before the other person grabs it. And
I'm sorry, what?
It gets a little questionable.
Wow.
I saw it. What is that place? Docks Records in Fort Worth, that they were like 50 deep by the time it opened. One that was really big today that actually didn't get to
That's
the store.
Awesome.
I don't know. The distributor lost it. Was Drive original soundtrack picture disc with art from that Tyler Stout. It's a really beautiful album. And a picture disc is always like the clear vinyl pressed with the pictures in the center.
Right.
So it actually, you know, looks like something instead of just black or colored or anything.
So does violence ever break out?
Somewhat, yeah. It's not like Walmart on Thanksgiving, but you're talking about music nerds, very passionate music nerds.
That's cool.
Hey, what the hell? Are you serious?
Yeah, but there's some pretty cool stuff that came out today. Nothing like major. Like, the one that I really wanted to get a hold of was Mumford & Sons Live at Bull Moose 10-inch vinyl. I wanted that, but that's pretty much about it. But I'd never heard it, so Mumford & Sons Live is a tricky scenario.
Because
sometimes they can be really good and really awful.
Since it's Record Store Day and 420, they're like people like going in there like, dude, man.
Incredibly high, yeah.
Yeah, like, it just smells horrible when you walk in.
Well, most record stores smell horrible anyways because of the,
That's true.
It smells like old records.
Well, in honor of 420, I have this clip right here, Bill.
Well, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Awesome. Happy 420, everyone. Happy Record Store Day, right?
Yeah.
In honor of Record Store Day. Huh? Oh, okay. Guess that's all we got. Oh, great. I've got baby barking outside. Hopefully my mic's not picking that up, Bill.
I heard her whenever Heather said Husker Du, and she was like, doing that beagle braille brawl.
Yeah, she's actually braying right now because I think
her
neighbor's dog is out there. I'm going to go out there and just be like,
is that lucky?
Yeah, that's lucky. And I'm just going to be like, shut up!
We're so lucky to have Lucky.
That is really insensitive.
Yes, it is. Now, Bill, we have a voicemail. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Wait, have I addressed everything? Okay, it's Saturday. 420.
420, Record Store Day.
Steven's not here. I think I got everything out of the way. Oh, and if you want to talk at all about what a... Yeah, I'm going to put Heather
there she
on
is.
Door shutting duty. Like, shut the door. It's been a rough week here in America with all sorts of crazy things going on.
Yes, it has. It's been a very strange week, like very surreal in the way things went down and then the manhunt that ensued.
I'm glad that it bookended with them catching the dude last night.
Yeah. There's so much speculation on it, though, like that maybe he was injured in the gunfight that happened in the morning on Friday, and then he, like, looked for a place to lie low, and then he just, like, passed out there in that guy's boat in his driveway.
And you know what I realized? A lot of times we complain about the entertainment news media being very speculative, and that's what drives us crazy. But when something like this happens, also the regular news is very speculative.
Yeah, they're horrible. They are horrible. Like, it was even beyond speculative. It was like this perverted, like, spectacle whenever it actually went down, where I was flipping through the channels, and at one point NBC was playing the different angles of people's videos when the explosions happened in slow motion. It was like Kevin Costner and JFK with the back and to the left. Here we see a runner. Here we see the explosion. And this runner goes down. And if we slow down, we can see the point where the runner is impacted. But, you know, it's just like, are you kidding me? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Yeah, it's just like, oh my God, just... Yeah, that's why I chose to just go to Twitter and get my news there, you know?
Yeah, that's where I was getting it. And then, I think, was it Friday morning whenever the gunfight went down? There were people on Twitter talking about how it was on the police scanners, which you could access online. Like, the Boston PD actually streams certain channels online, and they had it going. It was absolutely riveting, and it was, you were actually getting news straight from the source. And then later on Friday morning, they thought they had found the other kid, and they were chasing someone through houses. And then people kept posting on Twitter what was going on directly from the news scanners, and they switched over to the tactical private channel so that people would stop. And then they requested people stop.
Yeah, I think they'd found out that he was, they were speculating that he was in a boat in someone's backyard or something like that, right as Oblivion was about to start in the theater.
And okay.
I was like thinking to myself, hopefully they'll have the guy by the time the movie's over when we get out. So then, you know, the trailers and stuff started and I'd forgotten all about it and watched the movie. And then later when I got home, you know, Heather told me, and I think you messaged me too, that they got the guy, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, while you were in the movie, they got him.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I was so upset that I went to it with my friend Cole, and before the movie, we were talking like, hey, I think they're going to attach that new Superman, the Man of Steel trailer to this. And we were both, like, waiting for it, and then the music starts, and it's the old teaser. And I was like, son of a bitch!
They're like, why are they showing this?
Why are they... I've already seen this! I want to see the other one, especially on the big IMAX screen. It was a bit disappointing that they didn't show it before Oblivion. Did you get it?
What the hell, are you serious?
No, I saw it online, but no, they didn't show it before. But they did show... This is kind of weird. I think before I saw G.I. Joe also, they showed this. The trailer to The Wolverine. I don't know what the deal is.
I have yet to see the Wolverine trailer.
The sound is like really loud in the XD theater, but it's like they turned it up extra loud for the Wolverine trailer. And I was like, holy shit, this is loud. I was just like, I couldn't even hear
it. It was loud whenever we went to see... Oz Great and Powerful. Like, yeah. It was particularly loud.
When the Wolverine trailer was over, it went down like a few notches. It's like they cranked it extra loud.
That's strange.
I can't tell if that's going to be good or not because, you know, the Wolverine, X-Men Origin Wolverines was so awful.
It's quite possibly one of the worst films ever made.
Yes. And then when you have a new
one. Like, it's Ed Wood level of bad.
Yeah, it really is. It's awful. And so when you see the Wolverine, it's like, hey, that looks interesting, but hey, I don't know. You know,
who directed it?
That's awesome!
It's something questionable.
I knew who it was, but I don't know now that you've asked me.
Well, I know it was supposed to be Darren Aronofsky.
Right.
And everyone was very excited about that. James Mangold.
Oh, James Mangold.
Mangold.
Yeah, I think he might do a good job. It's hard to tell with those movies.
You know what? I'm not gonna just flat out go ugh. Because honestly, I mean, the guy has talent. I mean,
honestly,
he wrote
with those movies though, Bill. You don't know how much studio interference there was if they let
and
him
apparently
make the movie
with apparently
to.
With X-Men Origins, it was constant.
Right.
You didn't say the magic word.
Yeah. You don't know. Fox can't leave that stuff alone.
Yeah, so I have no idea if the guy got to make the movie wanted to or not. But I'm just going to wait for early word and people go, oh, it's badass. Or, It's a little bit better than Origins, but nothing to get excited about, you know.
Oh no! After this Oblivion debacle, I don't go anywhere near Early Word because so many people. I think it was the UK. They got to see it first last weekend, mm-hmm. and we got it this weekend. And there was just so much on Twitter about like it's disappointing, blah blah blah. And I was like, you people are crazy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that soon in entertainment, because I really want to talk about Oblivion with you. But let's go ahead and play a voicemail, Bill. We only have one, and it's from Mike from Ireland. And we haven't We haven't heard from him for a while, and let's check out what he's got going on. You know what I'm saying? Over here. All right, let's check it out.
Hey, Entertainment Landfill. Hey, it sounds weird saying that. This is Mike from Ireland. Yes, I'm still alive, just about. And I'm just finished a run. And I'll send a picture to accompany this voicemail. Sorry I didn't get a mail in last week for the first show. I was pissed off to see that I only saw the very last second that you were going to be recording one. Excuse me for that gigantic snotting there. But I'm not used to running, and it's hard work. And I'm trying to lose weight. So, one stone down, so... Here we go.
Oh,
God, it's a long time since I talked to you guys. I have so much news.
That's 20 pounds.
Oh. No, I have no news. There's nothing been out in the cinema. I mean, the last time I was talking to you guys, I was giving out about Skyfall and The Hobbit. And yeah, there's pretty much been nothing in the cinema since. Until probably, Iron Man 3. Which I imagine is going to be pretty good. It's great to hear that you guys are back and sort of getting going and getting on the horse again. I've been filling up the podcast time, listening to old episodes or listening to Hypnobobs with the magnificent Mr. Jim Moon, which is cool. You should check it out if you don't already. His natural history of the Batman series is excellent, as is all his stuff, but he's got a great way of talking, which is most amusing. But yeah, that's not really important. It was good to see you guys finally met up, and it's too much stuff. Bill's dad, and yeah, this is not what you need for Entertainment Landfill. But the only significant thing that's happened to me is I accessed the US Netflix, so I watched all 7 seasons of The West Wing, which I'd never seen, and I'm currently watching Parks and Recreation, which is fantastic, and I finally understand the origin of Awesome Sauce. Dude, that is Awesome Sauce. Which is cool. Really enjoying that, actually. I think it's far, far better than people give it credit for. Or maybe they do. Who knows? And, yeah. That's it. I've reached the end of my news. It wasn't very exciting, was it? I started off with great enthusiasm, and now I've just run out of energy completely. Anyway, I hope you have a show tonight. I still haven't managed to properly listen to the first episode. Just things have been crazy in work. I'm sorry if it's sniffling. It's kind of cold.
It's quite all right.
I sort of said I wouldn't have voicemails to go on and on and on. Although, listen to the recent Mulberries. Every time I called in, because they were Mulberries, every time I called in, I was slagging off the latest release of the day, film-wise, which is kind of funny. I haven't seen Skyfall since, although I have met many other people who didn't like it and were afraid to say so at the time, oddly. I've seen The Hobbit again since. Yeah.
Yes.
It's good. Kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah, no real rush to see an extended edition or anything like that. But I sound very nasal to me, so I must sound even more nasal to you guys. But that's the end of my news. I should go and stop clogging up the front of the show with stuff. I'll be back with more relevant content, I'm sure, as soon as I actually listen to the episode for next week.
Relevant
great
content.
To hear you guys back. And I'm looking forward to more Entertainment Landfill. Entertainment Landfill. I need a way to say that, you know? Because you say, no, I'm over it. Really quickly, now it's like, Nim. And it's like, E.T. Landfill. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's stupid. Right, bye. Bye.
Dude, shut up! That is Awesome Sauce!
Yeah, it's E.T. Landfill, or you could just call it the E.T.L.
Yeah, or the E.T.L.F.
Atlanta is the A.T.L., this is the E.T.L., I guess.
Ah, I should have registered E.T.L.com.
Holy shit, I just realized it is Saturday. What are we doing here? Does not compute.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't. Well, today's National Lima Bean Respect Day also, so...
Oh, props.
There you go.
Props to lima beans, you know.
Smoke some lima beans.
Right. What, lima beans, you know, they have protein, right?
They do have protein.
And other stuff, like...
carbs. Complex carbohydrates. One of the main ingredients in succotash.
I never eat lima beans now that I think about it.
Neither do I. I have lima beans in, like, soup, like lima bean soup, but very rarely.
Well, Mike, thank you for the voicemail there. I appreciate it, sir. And now, Bill, what do you say we get into entertainment? Because we need to talk about Oblivion.
Yes, we do. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Entertainment! Woo! Ah, yes. Entertainment. Now, Bill, I don't know what other movies came out this weekend, but I do know that Oblivion with Tom Cruise came out.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, and we know that it was directed by Joseph Kosinski, and mm-hmm. he did Tron
yes.
Legacy.
Yes, and he's an architect, because every review I've read so far has to make mention of that.
That he's an architect?
That he was an architect, yes.
Okay, he was an architect.
I guess because of his level of design and control in film. And they're like, the architect, Joseph Kosinski.
I guess, yeah, they like to point that out, I guess. Whatevers, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? He makes good movies.
Yes, he did. You know, one
and they're
thing
pretty.
From the trailer is I knew the movie was beautiful to look at.
Yeah, that's all that really mattered to me, because we were talking about how we kind of figured out most of it already from the trailers. And although that tended to be the case at times, there was still plenty of like meat there to surprise me. And it was beautiful, and it was fun, and it was emotional. It was very good.
You know, you went to see it Thursday night.
Yeah.
And I was curious to see what you thought about it. And you liked it, pretty much. You said
yeah.
some things about it. Mostly what we'd heard all week, I think, universally, is that I'd read a lot of, like, it's good. It's good, but it's very derivative of things that I've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of it was. I mean, I didn't overly read anything negative of it, but it was mostly like, hey, I've seen it all before, but hey, you know... And so, but I was like, I got to see it. It looks awesome. You know, it's got some really cool visual things in it. And I like Tom Cruise. I like sci-fi. So I'm going to go see it, right?
Yeah. Tom Cruise always brings the gravitas.
Yeah. And so I saw the movie and I loved it, Bill. I really did. And, you know, I went in thinking, like, what, you know, I actually went in with the wrong frame of mind saying, let me see, what is this like? Where have I seen this before? And I totally lost track of that, and I just got into the movie and the plot and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so did I. At first I was, like, trying to be the nitpicker, like, look for the things that people were complaining about.
Yeah.
And I would say about 15 minutes in, I was sold.
Yeah, totally into the post-apocalyptic type of thing, the futuristic storyline. And it's just really cool. And it's, should I say the cliche, it's one hell of a ride.
It is. And I think the thing that shows the cynicism a lot in film criticism is I didn't believe that this, any of the things that were referenced as being a lack of originality, borrowing from so many other films, or even ripping off from so many other films. I didn't see it like that at all. I saw it more of a celebration of, like, classic sci-fi themes, like melding them all into one theme that then reconnected to the whole point of so much of sci-fi, and that's the human condition, the emotion, the putting an ordinary person in an extraordinary situation and just playing off of that. It worked for me. The entire film worked for me.
Yeah, me too. And Tom Cruise is so good in the movie also.
He is. You know what? That guy, I think he's actually getting better as an actor. because I didn't see him as Tom Cruise the entire time. I saw him as Jack Harper, Tech 49. I bought it. He was fantastic.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it's the kind of movie that you could easily spoil while talking about specifics. So I really don't want to spoil it for anybody. I just want people to go see it because it really was that good. And I want to see it again, Bill. I've been thinking about it.
Oh, I really wanted to see it again today, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to. So I think I'm going to go see it again tomorrow and maybe in a better theater. I actually went to the IMAX theater at Easton Town Center in Columbus, but they need to replace the screen. You know, they make those huge acoustically transparent screens, and because the theater, the IMAX theater there is probably 10 or 12 years old, the screen has, where the speakers run behind it, has become degraded. So anytime there was like a very bright scene, you could just see this strip across the center, like from the vibration of the speakers that broken down over time. So every time there was like a scene of him outside or, you know, in the clouds and the ship and all that, you could just see this strip in the middle of the screen, and it just kept drawing my attention away from it.
Yeah, it just totally pulls you out of the movie. Yeah, I hate that when there's like something there that draws your eye away.
That, and there was a kid in front of us that I felt so bad for through the entire movie. He had Tourette's syndrome. So he wasn't screaming or yelling anything out, but he had the vocal tics, like where he's like, like that through the entire movie. And I it made me feel so bad, and that kept taking me out of it. But I still loved it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was strange. My friend Cole looked at me with this look like, what the hell is going on? I was like, oh, he's got Tourette's. It's okay. Just try to ignore it.
just ignore it, dude. I'm trying to watch a movie.
Well, it was a little annoying, but you know, the poor guy wanted to see Oblivion. So let him go out and see it without, you know, I'm sure he already felt, you know, self-conscious enough with his tics and everything. So I just didn't want to draw any more attention to it than it was already drawing.
You know, last night after I watched the movie, I called you really excited about it. And I was mainly, my main thoughts were like, are you kidding me? Why isn't everyone like freaking out about how awesome this movie is?
Yeah, about how beautiful it is, about how it grabs you emotionally very, very effectively. Like whenever you're dealing with the memories and it, I love how it opens up with like the black and white flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't just thrust you into it. It just kind of lays out this basic thing, like how he keeps seeing this woman and he knows her, but he doesn't know her. It was really effective in that. So that whenever that payoff finally came, it meant even more. It was just really well structured.
Did you notice like the opening Universal logo? You see the Tech thing.
The Tet, yes.
Well, yeah, how do you spell nice that? The, is it the Tet?
Yeah.
T-E-T?
Yeah, the Tet. Yeah,
the Tet. You see it floating around the logo, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and that was, again, that design, like that monolithic kind of imposing design, and then the design of the ships and the design of the stations, and like even the design of like the computer systems and all that. It was just so they thought about it a lot, obviously, and it was seamless.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I want to get more in depth in it, but I don't want to spoil anything.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't, because there's plenty of reviews out there that spoil a lot of it whenever you read them.
Oh, yeah. I told my dad to see it, and he said, well, I heard someone said it was like this and like this. And I was like, stop reading that shit and just go see the movie, Dad.
Yeah. I think he would even appreciate the score in a way. I mean, granted, it doesn't really have one overarching theme. But it's just in its experimentalness, mm-hmm. You know, the way the using a band like the French shoegazing kind of electronic band M83 to do the score.
The score is awesome.
Yeah, it sets that mood so perfectly. And even the end song that they did for it, that I believe is just called Oblivion, was really good. Like, I just wanted to sit there through the credit sequence, the very cool credit sequence at that, with the designs and the maps and all that and the song, and just kind of absorb it. It was one of those movies that after it was over, it was just kind of like, I just need to sit here for a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a part in the movie, you know, the music's awesome and everything, but there's a cool action scene, like an air battle, basically.
Yes.
Where it's a chase through like a chasm or something.
Yes. Yeah, like and a valley, almost kind of a Star Wars trench kind of situation.
The music in that part is awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what, Joseph Kosinski, that dude knows how to stage an action scene. Like,
doesn't he?
He does. I mean,
and it's you understand everything that's happening.
Yeah,
no confusion. It's perfectly staged.
It's so badass. That ship that, Tom Cruise's character flies, this flying machine.
Yeah, the bubble ship.
And it's awesome, that thing. And I love the technology behind it, because they make it look like it would really work. Even the first time they show it, they show him sit in and he moves the pedals and stuff, and you see the rudders and stuff moving.
Yep.
It's cool they set it up like, oh man, this
there's
thing
that
really
much
work.
That amount of attention goes into the design that this could be a working ship. Like, even how during the flight, the way the cockpit actually shifts, and the way, like, you can see in front, behind, the engines kind of twist around so that any direction is possible. And it's just, yeah, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, totally. So, Oblivion, man, it's awesome. I was sad. You know, I went to see it with Steven, but I was bummed that Heather didn't get to go with me. I really think she would have liked it, too.
You got to take her.
Yeah, I want to see it again. Definitely. So, what else came out this week? The new films. There was the Rob Zombie movie, The Lords of Salem.
Yeah, I was wondering what the hell that was, because I was like, what is going on with that poster?
See, Oblivion is at 59%. What is that shit about?
That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit. And if you look at, down through Rotten Tomatoes, it's all like, well, it's derivative and all that. And it's like, are they just jaded? Do they just not get it? Do they think that their knowledge of prior sci-fi films makes them somehow immune to what Oblivion was trying to achieve, and that paying respect sci-fi themes?
Okay, the tomato meter works like this. Right now it's at 59%. Shouldn't it be fresh then and not rotten? This is what it says. Reviews counted, 172, 101 fresh, rotten 71. That means it's fresh, but
yeah,
on the thing,
if there's
it says,
more fresh than rotten.
So but it says it's rotten at 59%. How is it rotten?
What bothers me is it says visually striking but thinly scripted. My ass, thinly scripted.
There is great character development in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't
And there's surprising moments of character development.
And I love the pace of the movie. I've read sometimes I'll do this when I like a movie after I see it, is I'll read the hashtag on Twitter, like Oblivion, and I'll read some people go, ooh, snooze fest, wow, boring. And I'm like, what?
Did they want constant action? Did they not get the point?
It's the perfect kind of movie I like, where it's got slow-paced and methodical with some great action set pieces, you know?
Yeah, it makes you think. It gives you that time to absorb.
Yeah, it's totally crazy, dude.
I don't get why. At least the audience is 10% higher. The audience is at 68%, but even that should be higher.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't understand. So, Bill, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVo?
Let's do it!
Everybody go see Oblivion! I mean it, you'll love it! Let's do it! TiVo!
Did you get the trailer for After Earth?
After Earth? No, but I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, before. Well, we saw it before Oz, but I mean, can that thing get any... When you want to talk about something that's derivative, when it uses, when it basically lifts shots from a film like Avatar,
yeah,
it's derivative. I mean, that movie is... I don't know what happened to M. Night Shyamalan, but... Shyamalama Ding Dong. Maybe he lacks the confidence he once had,
yeah.
But holy shit, that movie looks like a derivative piece of garbage.
Yeah, it doesn't look... It looks like a lot of things we've seen before. A lot of people said that about Oblivion, which I didn't agree with them, but
no.
That movie does. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, but I just roll my eyes when Will Smith and his son are the stars of the movie, you know?
Maybe it just looks terrible. It looks so bad. And even the CGI creatures, it's like, if you're going to make CGI creatures, you have to try to make them look somewhat realistic. Like, there wasn't one moment in something like Avatar where I went, oh, that's fake. I totally believe that was a real freaking creature on a planet called Pandora that has floating islands.
Yeah. And
After Earth is supposed to be Earth, and these creatures look phony. I feel bad for Shyamalan, but it's just...
Again,
it's
like any other movie, I'll wait and see what kind of the word of mouth is, if it's genuinely...
No. We already know what the word of mouth on After Earth is.
What is it going to be? Mostly negative?
Or... I think it's going to be probably like 10% rotten.
Ooh, it can't get as bad as Airbender was.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking it's going to be pretty damn close.
We'll see. There was a time where when I heard...
I think we need to start that contest. What is After Earth going to be, and is it going to beat the level of badness of Airbender?
Yeah, but I don't want to get into that speculative kind of bash on a movie type of mentality.
No, I'm not.
Which
I don't
the
mean
rest
to bash
of the internet
on it.
Is.
I just want to know what it's going to end up being.
But there is a period of time where Shyamalan, M. Night, him doing a sci-fi movie, I would have been like, ooh, you know?
Yeah, I still love Unbreakable. I love Lady in the Water. I think Lady in the Water is one of the most underappreciated, like, bedtime story movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think it's fantastic. Paul Giamatti, the whole cast, like, it's great. I love that. In fact, it reminds me of, like, a story that Stephen King would tell. Kind of, it has that vibe to it, that ensemble sort of cast in a crazy situation.
Yeah.
But I love that movie. I still like, Signs was okay, and the first one he did, The Sixth Sense, but
Unbreakable.
I don't know what's gone wrong with him.
Yeah. I'd say his main problem is pacing issues in his movies. They're really long, you know?
Yeah.
But, I and have enjoyed his films, but, dude, I think I've kind of hit on this before. I think his main problem is a lack of a sense of humor. Like,
he takes himself too seriously.
Yeah. And if you ever watched The Last Airbender and you've seen the cartoon, you see that he sucked the life out of the story.
Oh God, yeah, he it's soulless.
It's completely without a soul, completely without a sense of humor, and that cartoon is just full of life and humor, and it's just crazy how he just had none of that in the movie. So we'll see what happens with that. But Bill, let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay.
This week, Gary Busey was in charge.
As much as he thought he was in charge, actually.
Yeah. His main thing was just to, like, everybody's going to do everything. And they were doing that stupid... again, I think last season they did this too, the Australian gold skin stuff.
Yeah.
Suntan lotion, I guess? Is that what it is?
Well, don't limit it to just suntan lotion.
Yeah, it's got bronzer and all that.
There's
kind of
bronzer and there's lotion and it smells wonderful.
It sure does. But you know what? I love this bit here where they were basically trying to get Gary to think of an idea, and every once in a while he makes like a sound like...
Yeah.
He makes these weird grunting sounds.
He's like an ape.
And there's
really is.
When the lady from she's like, is she Miss USA or one of the Miss USAs or something? I don't know.
Something like that.
There's a part where he goes, "What does yellow smell like?" And she goes, "What does yellow smell like?" And Lisa Rinna goes, "No, what does vanilla smell like?" And no, he says, "What does yellow smell like?"
Yeah, he does say, "What does yellow smell like?"
And I thought it was pretty funny. So funny that I'm choking myself. But, Bill, let's check this out. It's the best of Busey.
You know, lots of movies are made in Manhattan, and over the years, some of the greatest movies have been made right here. Your task this week is to make a silent movie promoting Australian gold.
We got to figure out how you want to make the movie.
Yeah.
This week, our project manager is an Academy Award nominated actor. That's a big deal. But I'm not sure what he's going to be like as a leader. It will probably be puppy dogs, rainbows, and Mr. Hangbrain.
For some of
them. Oh my God, that laugh.
I thought of making it in the 20s.
20s.
About late teens, right?
Yeah.
What if everything about the look was contemporary, but the style of how you make it is, the acting is, you know, all of that, but you're...
We are selling
I just like the idea of the 20s, a silent film, stay traditional to the era it was.
Then how would you want an old-fashioned bathing suit? I mean, how would you sell the fact that we're selling this product?
Can we do something where it goes from old to new?
And
from the one piece to a bikini?
I don't know if that will... I don't know whether that sounds like to me a conflict of artistic interest.
The Australian Gold executives come in, Eric and Katie. Katie is gorgeous.
Got a question for you right off the bat.
Okay.
This koala bear, is this the importance of the branding?
Sydney is definitely important to our brand. We've deemed him as the coolest dude on the beach because everyone that uses Australian Gold, they're really sun enthusiasts. They love having fun in the sun.
I've been to Australia a lot. And I've been to some of those koala places where they sit in the tree and eat eucalyptus leaves and get higher than bats. Where do you see koalas on
get
the beach?
Higher than bats?
My questions get easier.
Gary is a wonderful guy. We all love him. He's fun. He's charming. He's all over the place. I mean, that's Gary being Gary, and it's why we love him. But there's Gary's process that is...
He's like a silverback.
Just mind-boggling.
What's yellow smell like?
What's yellow smell like?
Yellow.
Vanilla. Oh, vanilla.
That's different in a recipe case.
We like you, Gary. You're fun.
Thank you for the tip.
Do you have an idea for a story?
The male and the female. And the female is very much afraid of the sun.
Would she be scared of the sun like this, you know, like in a silent film?
Yeah, she's... I don't want to be in the sun.
No, she's not a vampire or anything.
Well, she's a vampire with a day pass, but she's afraid to get out there. It could be they went to go in the desert and take peyote, but they didn't. They forgot the peyote.
Do we play the vampire thing at all?
Who?
Do we play a vampire thing?
No, we're not a vampire. That's just the element of surprise or what is in her character.
Oh. So what are you wearing, Gary?
Would you wear a bathing suit?
No.
Would you wear an old-fashioned bathing suit?
No, nobody's here at all.
Nude?
No.
Just a thought. Hey, Lisa, what is Gary wearing?
I've never heard so many tonal shifts.
Ken wants to know what you're wearing in the scene.
We're looking for the black or the gold silver suit on the first day of promotion.
Why don't we dress him in beach wear? Why don't we put him in beach shorts?
No.
And a Hawaiian shirt.
A beach wear would look great.
No, I'm not wearing
a Hawaiian shirt to Quicksilver.
Hawaiian shirt could be cute.
Listen to me. It's got to be something out of the ordinary for what you guys
are
doing.
Gary, we're selling suntan lotion.
Oh, my God, man. You don't get it. I'm the project manager.
Okay,
I know,
Gary.
What I want to wear.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
We're all wearing beach clothes, and Gary's going to come in his suit and be kind of the Australian Gold guy.
Now, what are we doing here, honey?
We're getting bathing suits.
We're going to babysit.
We're going to get some bathing suits.
I heard you. I just like to play with nonsense. Oh, wow, that is neat.
We're going to get bathing suits. Who are we going to babysit? He's just messing with them the entire time.
You know what? I have to think that he is, because no one's that gone. And then the I like how they like try to make up for his wackiness. Like, what does yellow smell like? Vanilla. Oh, vanilla.
He said vanilla. No, he said, what does yellow smell like?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's because he's patronizing the girl who obviously has no idea what she's talking about. She's just some Miss America.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when was the last time she actually worked for Australian Gold other than just right then?
Yeah, and she's just trying to be like, oh, yes, and be really friendly to him.
Like, yeah, oh, we have people who do, you know, work with or wear Australian Gold are sun enthusiasts. Like, what, they're cancer enthusiasts?
We worship the sun.
Yeah, they're sun worshippers.
Yeah, listen, listen to this.
What's yellow smell like?
He says yellow.
Yeah, what's yellow smell like?
What does yellow smell like?
That's his mating call.
Well, Bill, let's quickly check out Hell's Kitchen, and then we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Now, this week on Hell's Kitchen, they had Martin Yan from Yan Can Cook.
I didn't even know he was still alive.
It was great seeing him, wasn't it?
I love watching Martin Yan. Because I remember one time I watched the show, and he had his newborn baby on the show with him, and it was in a walk. And he goes, he's in his waka. and I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Like, man, Martin Yan, he's so witty.
That dude is hilarious.
He should be a comedian.
There's one guy, is this named Dan, who keeps saying that, I lived in Asia for a year.
Yeah, what part of Asia? it's a large country.
Yeah, so when this begins, everyone's giving Dan a hard time. He's like, whatever, F all y'all. And then they have this Asian food part, which, of course, they have to play the gong, as Gordon mentions, it's Chinese food.
Not racist at all.
Well, let's listen to how many times he talks about Asian living in Asia for a year. Let's check this out.
Go back in line.
Thank you, chef.
Thank you, chef.
Don't thank me yet. And here's why. Each and every one of you will have to earn your jacket back by the end of the next dinner service. And if you don't, your history. Uh-oh. Piss off.
Piss off. I can't believe we're still here. I can't believe I'm still here.
Dan up the station.
Right.
Heard.
I kept hearing him whine and whine and whine. I'd rather have somebody positive than somebody negative on the team. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. You know what? You. You.
Dan, man, you need to get over yourself, cuz.
Nope.
You, Dan.
Oh, Dan. Peace. You gotta earn my respect back.
You earn your coat back first.
I will. Don't worry about it. I'll have it back tomorrow.
Dan, are you serious? You're not gonna get your chef coat back. Acting like a little bitch, okay?
You talk all you want, man. Action. Be a man and prove that. End of conversation.
Yeah, it was the most tense night in Hell's Kitchen so far. And this morning, in today's challenge, all of the chefs will be tested once again.
Good morning.
Morning, morning, chef.
You can probably guess from the decor. Your next challenge, we're going to be working with Chinese food.
I'm from the hood. I like Chinese food. We got a Chinese store every other block. Chinese store on 10th. Chinese store on 11th. Chinese store on 21st. 30th Street, 40th Street, 52nd Street, 56th Street. I know a little bit about Chinese food.
Each team will create their version of six stunning traditional Chinese dishes.
I love this music, Bill.
Chow mein, spring rolls, dumplings, Chinese soup, classic fried rice, and finally, stir fry.
I lived in Asia for a year, so I'm gonna nail it. This is my competition now.
Ooh, Lord, help me.
Red team, blue team, I want you to decide which two of you will be manning the board. Let's go. Quick, huddle up.
You feel strong at Asian cuisine?
Hurry up.
Who knows Asian cuisine really well?
I lived in Asia for a year.
Did you?
I am getting my jacket back today. This is not going to be hard. These ingredients pick themselves. I can't this up.
Judging your dishes tonight is an award-winning chef, Martin Yan.
Comes out really
dragon. That's amazing.
Battle of the fried rice, please. Let's go.
I'm getting my jacket back right now. Because I lived in Asia for a year. What do you eat while you live in Asia for a year? Asian food.
Dan, let's go.
Fried rice with mushrooms. I also use a little bit of coconut milk and loosely crushed peanuts and some sweet and spicy glazed prawns.
Presentation was great.
Thank you, chef.
The rice a little bit undercooked. Chinese rice should never be undercooked.
Dan, is that how they serve the rice in Asia where you lived there for a year?
Which one do you prefer?
I prefer the flavor and the imagination and our creativity of...
Hey, Dan, go back to Asia for another year.
Right, next up.
I like how they kept, like, telling, you know, just joking about it over and over again.
Yes, it was very funny. it was hilarious. I love how they kept going back to it. And I love that the one guy who actually never made, what was he making, lo mein or something before?
Yeah,
he'd never made it before, yet he won.
Yeah, he did fantastic. And, of course, I had to put together a medley of Asia for a Year. Let's check it out.
I lived in Asia for a year, so I'm going to nail it. I lived in Asia for a year.
Because I lived in Asia for a year.
Dan, is that how they serve the rice in Asia, where you lived there for a year?
Hey, Dan, go back to Asia for another year.
You know what? Last week, do you remember I played some of those medleys, like the Acacia and the other one?
Yes.
Well, I found another one that I completely forgot about. It's the Palm Fondant. Do you remember this?
Nice.
Palm fondant.
Palm fondant, like...
Palm fondant, palm fondant.
Palm fondant.
Fondant, and palm fondant.
Palm fondant.
Palm fondant.
I'll never want to hear the term palm fondant again. I don't even know what it is.
And palm fondant.
Where's the palm fondant? I thought palm fondant was cooked in butter, nicely done. A palm fondant.
Palm fondant means something completely different to him.
Is a palm fondant in America the same as a palm fondant in Europe?
Yes.
Spear palm fondant. Just taste that, you. If that's a palm fondant, yeah, then I'm the pope.
I guess it's not even a palm fondant.
Palm fondant my ass.
Palm fondant. Palm fondant my ass. Now, they did something this week also that they've done forever, and I don't understand why they do it. Whereas, whatever team loses, they're doing all sorts of kitchen chores and stuff. But also, it's time for lunch, so they serve them something disgusting to eat.
Yes.
And they all sit around the table, basically vomiting.
Because what's more entertaining than seeing people vomit?
Why do they do that? This is disgusting. I don't understand. And this week, they had those disgusting chicken eggs where the chicken is basically like a dead baby in the egg.
Yeah, balloon eggs.
Like it's a pickled dead baby.
But they also, chick. Did you notice they also had those 1,000-year-old eggs?
No.
They're like black.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dude, yeah. Why would they make them eat that?
Because they're assholes.
Let's check this out.
It's you just... can't eat that. I mean, especially whenever you're an American who's never like experienced that taste or smell before. That's just cruel.
Yeah, if you're like in Vietnam or something, you might enjoy it. You know? Let's check this out.
Let's hurry up and finish prepping so a bitch can go get a snack or something.
Chef Ramsay's prepared something really special for you guys. It's a delicacy. Balut eggs.
Oh.
We have a balut egg, which is a baby chicken and an egg. Eat up. You gotta eat them fast, guys.
I'm not putting that in my mouth. I'm sorry.
The first one I cracked open had a little baby chicken, bill and feet, eyes, wings, feathers, everything.
We have to eat all of them?
I'm gonna say yes.
I think I'm so vegan.
We have so much work ahead of us. The faster we get this done, the faster we can move on. It's best if we can all just suck it up and just push through.
I can't do it if I make eye contact.
We have to eat it.
I'm not eating it.
This is nasty.
The red team has experienced their first challenge loss.
Don't vomit because it'll start a chain reaction.
And are now getting their first taste of failure.
I'm going to throw up.
Come on, guys. You have a busy day today. Let's go.
Hold it back. Hold it back. Come on, guys. I would have rather eaten raw chicken than what I just ate today.
Girls, let's go.
Yes, Chef.
Seriously, I feel like puking.
I do too.
Dude, that is gross. Why would they think that the viewer would want to see that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. The other thing that I found really disturbing was the guy that lived in Asia, like kept like being really verbally. I wouldn't say abusive because it wasn't directly to them, but very disrespectful of the girl team like kept calling them skanks.
Yeah.
And stuff. It was like really off-putting. Like, that's not funny, dude. That's really kind of disgusting behavior.
It's kind of fucked up, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's totally effed
like,
up.
What did they ever do to you that you repeatedly call them skanks?
Yeah, he's just an asshole, and he's got the biggest, like, he's
ears?
Really, he's really skinny. He's got these jug ears sticking out.
Jug ears. They're like the handles on, like, 1 gallon jugs.
Look at the nerd.
And, you know, it'd be one thing if he was a nice guy and they just all picked on him all the time, but he's a douche.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Ugh.
Can I go take a dump?
Excuse me?
Well, we are taking a break, so.
Well, Bill, what do you say we take a break and we'll be right back, and then we're going to talk about the new sci-fi series, Defiance.
Is it defiant?
Very defiant.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about it then.
And it's based on a video game. Or are they both based on each other?
I'm so confused.
All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Let's hurry up and finish prepping so a bitch can go get a snack or something.
Don't give me that so-so soda, the same old cola. I want a rock and roller. I want a pie.
What's the difference between a little fun and a lot?
At last, move fast. Definitely Doritos can score. Back door, definitely Doritos. Doritos. Time flies, white lies, takes two, serves two. Definitely all night.
All right.
Why not? Big shot Doritos.
So, nacho cheese Doritos brand tortilla chips. Definitely.
Take care to use real apples in my fruit pies.
So does Hostess.
Real apples.
Caring means my chocolate cake has a creamy surprise.
Like a Hostess cupcake.
Creamy.
Caring means fresh, wholesome Hostess snacks are baked with the goodness of enriched flour, skim milk, cocoa, sugar, and fruit.
My sponge cake is as fresh and light as a Hostess Twinkies cake.
At Hostess, the care you take goes into all we bake.
Fighting tartar with regular toothpaste is like trying to dig a hole to China with a teaspoon. That's why Wisdom Tooth says use Colgate Tartar Control. Colgate's proven 44% better than a regular toothpaste at fighting tartar buildup. 44%. So, to help beat tartar, get Colgate. To go to China, take a jet.
Colgate Tartar Control, the wise choice.
G'day, class. This is the Mead Pencil Pouch Organizer with color-coordinated features and this incredible pouch. And I know me pouches. It's great for pencils, pens, whatever. Hop on and get one, eh? The Mead Pencil Pouch Organizer.
A double pleasure is waiting for you. A double pleasure from Double Mid-Gum. A double great feeling making you realize double is the one for you.
I can't sleep with those leftovers lingering here.
There you are, luscious lasagna. Your flavor and aroma locked safely in a Ziploc storage bag. And you, mouth-watering meatballs, your freshness protected by a Ziploc storage bag, too.
I can't wait to gobble you up tomorrow. It is tomorrow.
Ziploc, we've got the lock on food protection.
In the world of the Transformers, nothing is what it seems. Meet the Constructicons, six evil robots that transform into one mechanical giant.
The Transformers, more than the DDI. The Transformers.
It's Devastator, six Constructicons in one. Devastator's attacking.
Constructicons gift set sold separately from Hasbro.
Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry?
Hold it! I just have to tell you about the Aren't You Hungry for a Whopper game at Burger King. You can win a Whopper or a Coke, $1,000, $5,000, even $1,000,000. There's a 1 in 6 chance of winning a prize. Okay, back to the most important reason to come to Burger King, the food.
Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry?
Two more great reasons to come to Highland Superstores by Saturday. One, this Nokia Mobera portable cellular phone is just $5.95. Two, you can impress your friends by telling them it costs a lot more.
There's something you don't know about Atari video games.
Are you kidding? He knows everything.
Everything?
He's the best at Berserk, sensational at Star Raiders, and he scores at least 1,000,000 in Defender.
At least. But do you know you can get an Atari video game cartridge free? Buy two of these great hits, and Atari will send you any one of these great games free.
He didn't know that.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. Buy two now. Get one free.
That's weird. Honey, this lipstick doesn't look like your shade. Oh, $300 for a massage? I don't remember a massage. Honey, get in here. I'm watching the videotape for my bachelor party.
Thick-headed? Sure. But nothing compared to the rich, thick, frosty mug taste of an A&W root beer. With A&W, it's good to be thick-headed.
Boy, was that embarrassing. Here, let me rewind it.
When the sun breaks out, lift up your head and shout, it's gonna be a great day.
Kellogg's waits for you, that spirit comes shining through, promising you a great day.
How could you think of starting this bright new morning without your cane? Double L's always double through, Kellogg's, you'll have a great day.
Kellogg's has been making great days for more people for more years with more cereals than anyone. Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, Product 19. Trust your mornings to Kellogg's.
The very best part of starting, the bright new morning, is Kellogg's way. It's not far away, Kellogg's will help you say. There's gonna be a great, we're gonna see a great, it's gonna be a great day.
Got a date, skin's looking great, cause Clarus Hill's ace.
Face to face, face to face, to face.
See you at 8, skin's looking great, CG's the place.
Face to face.
Clarasil gives you great-looking skin, even close up. Inside, it kills bacteria to dry the pimple.
Clarasil's ace, face to face.
Outside, it soaks up all the excess oil.
Feeling first great, your skin's looking great, cause Clarasil's ace.
Clarasil, for skin that looks great, even close up.
Face to face, face to face, to face, to face, to face, to face.
What's in this little blue egg that keeps Barbara Eden looking slim and trim?
Ooh, there's only one answer to that. It's Legs Control Top Pantyhose. See, Legs slims and trims but doesn't bind. So you get comfort and control.
Stretching, bending, standing,
setting.
There's one pantyhose that's always spinning. You'll think it's a great pair of legs.
Kodak introduces the extraordinary Kodamatic Trim Print Instant Color Film. Unlike the ordinary instant print, the extraordinary trim print lets you lift off the image to capture the color just the way you like it. And now look how slim I am. I slip easily into places the ordinary bulky instant doesn't fit. So you can keep me in style here in your album with your regular pictures. You can trim me. Watch out. And I'm so thin you can put me where you couldn't put an ordinary instant picture. You can show me off. You can do all kinds of things with me that you can't do with an ordinary instant picture. Here I am, with the new Kodamatic Trim Print Instant Color Film.
Anyone can do extraordinary things.
But he didn't tell you Trim Print is only for Kodomatic instant cameras.
He didn't tell me it's only for Kodak.
What?
He didn't tell him it was only from Kodak.
Extraordinary.
Thank you.
Trim Print, the extraordinary new instant color film from Kodak.
Get a little closer.
Closer.
Now don't be shy.
Closer.
You can get a little closer.
Closer.
With Arid Extra Dry.
Only Arid has a patent on this formula that fights wetness. No leading deodorant spray stops odor better. And now Arid has a new baby fresh scent. It smells,
Get a little closer.
Closer.
With the baby fresh scent of Arid Extra Dry.
Arid fights wetness and odor. Now in a new baby fresh scent.
You're cool, you're crisp, you're hard to resist, you're bright.
Ooh, refreshing and
fun. Ooh, you're Canada Dry. You're the singular style, you're the reason to smile. You're clever, you're neat, you're never too sweet.
Ooh, you're Canada Dry. You tickle, you tingle, you're making me laugh. Oh, ooh, you're Canada Dry. Ooh, you're Canada Dry.
Ronald McDonald is
rolling for burgers.
We still have a chance, Bertie. Go for it.
Stand back, boys.
It looks like a strike.
You're out.
That's okay. I'll throw it there.
I think you got it, Grimace.
Think again.
You're our last hope, Ronald.
Watch this.
Boo!
Do you believe in magic?
Good game, you guys.
Thanks. We always fall for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, boy.
Got nothing.
That's good scissor.
I lived in Asia for a year, so I'm gonna nail it. I lived in Asia for a year.
Because I lived in Asia for a year.
Dan, is that how they serve the rice in Asia, where you lived there for a year?
Hey, Dan, go back to Asia for another year.
Go back to Asia for a year.
I would like to know why he chose to use the continent name of Asia. Why China, Thailand, Japan?
Yeah, it's just Asia.
Asia.
So he lived everywhere in Asia? Is that what he said?
Maybe he actually lived with a girl named Asia for a year.
That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Because just because you live in Asia, like, I could live in Texas, but it doesn't mean I've learned anything about how to prepare the food, you know?
Yeah. I live in Texas, so I know how to make Tex-Mex.
Yeah. I mean, I've eaten Chinese food plenty of times. I could never make any of it, you know?
Or, like I referenced it, you could say, I live in Texas, so I know where to find Korean donut shops.
Yeah. But it doesn't make you an expert on anything.
No, it makes you be an expert in being an asshole.
You might know where to drive somewhere in the town, but that's it.
He's just such an asshole.
You know, I wanted to mention, Bill, that I'm still watching Hannibal.
Oh, I am too. Yeah, I haven't watched the third episode yet, but I'm sold. I like the guy that plays Will Graham. He's got kind of a quiet insanity to him that really it's really good. And I still have a bit of a difficult time understanding Mads Mikkelsen at times, but he's got the atmospheric creepiness down.
Yeah, he's definitely growing on me over time. He's showing some more personality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that by the time the season's over, he's won me over. You know,
I'm going to download the third episode tonight and take it with me whenever I go tuck my dad in for bed and make sure his mask is seated.
Dude, I still can't get over how creepy the show is and how violent it is. You know?
I can't get over how they're doing that on television. Like, just in the first two episodes, I was like, wow, that's like PG-13 R-rated level violence. What's going on here?
Yeah, totally. It's they get away with a lot. But you know what? The show is photographed I mean, it's gorgeous.
Isn't it that David Slade that's been directing a couple of the episodes?
Yeah. It's gorgeous to look at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely a show that's worth watching on NBC, like the only show, right?
On NBC, yes.
I think it's so funny they already canceled Ready to Love.
Is that the dating show?
Yeah, it's basically a ripoff of The Bachelor, where instead they have three different bachelors.
Okay.
With all these women, and that chick from the E! Network was hosting it.
And oh, it's just so- the creepy looking one that. Oh, I shouldn't say that. The not particularly attractive girl, the Juliana that's married to the guy from The Apprentice.
Yes, she's very thin.
Yeah, very. Yeah,
and
she needs a sandwich.
She just, I think, to be an E type of person, you have to kind of. I mean, it almost seems like you're not sure what's going on behind your eyes.
She's empty.
She seems like she's a nice lady, but...
she's got that, like, really long neck and that weird, round, like, egg head, and it's just... I'm sure she's very nice. She's just not particularly attractive. I'm trying to be kind. Oh, look at this. Season 2, already casting for Season 2.
What is?
Ready for Love. I guess they're not... They haven't updated the website yet.
Oh,
they're not ready, yeah. I guess, now.
Why don't they just make it an E! Show? It seems like it should be that instead of on NBC, you know?
Yeah, I think that would work well. It seems that about as classless as E!, so it would fit right in.
Now, Bill, I want to talk about Defiance.
Okay.
It's the Sci-Fi Network finally doing a sci-fi show again.
Mm-hmm. And it's the lone surviving Rockne O'Bannon show now, yeah, that the Cult has been canceled.
Yeah. And what's cool is it's also a video game. They call it an MMO, but from what I've read about it, it's kind of like Borderlands with multiple players. And
yeah, it looks interesting.
Borderlands is kind of like an MMO, right?
Yeah, it's the closest thing to a console MMO currently.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's the world is so vast, and you can get four people to play at a time. It's really all about loot hunting, and yeah. So not only does it have the Borderlands association, but also what are they called? Ark hunters in Defiance and in Borderlands, they're vault hunters.
Yeah. Basically, what these ships came to Earth, they crashed Earth. These arcs, and they housed all these different. Aliens from, I guess, their galaxy was dying, and they all got in these giant arcs to find another planet. And when they arrive at Earth, they didn't know this, but it was already inhabited by us.
Yeah. And, Votans?
Yeah, the Votans. And they're all these different kind of species. One thing that I do like about it, I like that there are a number of species. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the show takes place after the war is over and there's like a truce, and basically we're all trying to live on the same terraformed planet where Earth's been totally jacked up, right?
Yeah.
And we're all trying to just get along. And I guess the main characters they introduce are Ark hunters, where what they do is they wait for an Ark to fall out of Earth's... what do you call it? Orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And crash to Earth, and then they kind of like try to strip it for parts and stuff and live off the the booty, as they say.
But there's energy cores and stuff like that that are worth
like a lot.
Yeah, like what did he say? It was like $4 million for this one energy core, 4 million credits, whatever they use there, enough for them to retire from being Ark hunters and go to Alaska, where apparently,
or Antarctica.
It's now, or Antarctica, sorry, yeah,
where it's supposed to be like gorgeous there.
Yeah, after the, what was it that tore the Earth up? Was it that Arkfall event or something where there was like a... I'm trying to remember what it was again.
Yeah, it was
like a weapons thing that went bad.
Yeah, some kind of cataclysmic event.
It released the terraforming technology that it changed the way Earth was formed or whatever. So it just changed it into this like crazy wasteland. And except for Antarctica, I guess.
It's funny, thinking about this, I just thought of something that I thought was badass in Oblivion, which was the cracked moon in the sky.
Oh my god, yeah. I want a like a print of that on my wall.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. But the show, Defiance, opens up with Jeb Nolan. I think everyone just calls him Nolan, don't they? And Arissa.
It's a better name.
His adopted daughter, Arissa, who is good with knives and stuff, and she's kind of got this spunky spirit. And
What's her species?
Oh, I'm trying to remember what it is. But I ended up liking her character the most in the two-hour episode. I liked how she's kind of... There's this part in the bar where you see Nolan is starting to get involved, and you see her just go, ugh, because she knows they're about to get in a fight.
Yeah, she's just exasperated with him. Like, he can't... He's the goody-two-shoes, it seems like. And she just wants to move on with her life. Like, she's almost a teenager in that way. Like, oh, I'm so embarrassed by my parents.
Yeah, and it's like whenever they're... He can't outright just be selfish. He always has to get involved in something is what I get the idea.
Like, yeah.
Just when, you know, they have...
Because he was part of, like, the Defiant Few, the like some last stand battle.
Yeah, basically where it sounds like the human resistance of the aliens did not want to surrender or make peace with the aliens. But there was a sect of humans who were like, no, let's stop fighting. Let's just... all live here in peace, and they ordered them to attack all these alien civilians, and he was one of the Defiant Few. His unit were like, no, we're not going to shoot them, we're not going to kill them. Yeah. And it was some kind of dramatic event where humans finally decided to make a truce with them. So it's there in St. Louis, right?
Yeah, it is.
Defiance is right under the arch.
Which surprisingly still stands.
Yeah, it's still standing. It's a little ragged.
And if you've ever been to St. Louis and been in the Arch, you know that that's quite the feat. In fact, it's unrealistic because that place is a dump. It is. Yeah. It's so grimy and nasty.
I've only been to that area once, and it was just driving through to go to Nebraska when my dad got lost.
That's exactly how you should go through St. Louis.
And I always remember the cop. My dad asked for directions. He goes, you guys are on the wrong side of town. Get out of here immediately. And I was like, okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
I'm sure there are areas that are nice, but the area we were in was not nice. But Defiance looks nice. I like the production values of the show.
I was very surprised at what they got, like CGI idea. You know, like the amount that they got on screen.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how much money they put into it.
Like, I was going to ask you this. Like, I like the sets and stuff that they made of the town, and then they had the CGI to complement everything. Mm-hmm. And there's a part with the big alien battle, those more, like, warmongering race that has all the technology.
That reminded me of the Locust from Gears of War.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of them that I was like, hey, that's a Locust.
So that was very much kind of like, you know, it was human interaction, live action mixed with video game footage is what it reminded me of.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how successful they were, but I liked the kind of character about it. I liked that they even attempted it. You know what I mean?
Well, the town itself looks more lived in than Terra Nova ever looked.
Yeah, it does. And I love,
you know,
all
that's
the cultures.
One thing that I really kind of respected about it was that it has that kind of classic Old West, but also shanty town look. Mm-hmm. Whereas Terra Nova just looked phony and like antiseptic, you know, yes. Like it just looked too clean.
And I like how they have all the aliens interacting with each other. And there's this, they look completely ridiculous, but these giant kind of muscular, they almost look like Chewbacca's, like Wookiees.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like the one of the kind of, I don't know if he's supposed to be a mafia guy or something, the real pale aliens, but he's got this, you know, right-hand guy who's like this big gorilla-looking dude.
Is that the, oh shit, which ones are they? Is it Castathan or something?
Yeah.
They have like the pale eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. His name was Daytac Tar, the guy.
Daytac Tar, yes.
And he's kind of you can tell he's a dick.
Yeah.
And well, his
he's, yeah. He's
and his a son
dick.
Is
and he has
in
a
love
son.
With, his son is in love with Graham Greene's daughter, basically. And when I first read about the show, I read positive things, but some people are like, please don't let there be kids like on Terra Nova. They didn't want that kind of storyline, but I would say that I didn't roll my eyes like I would at Terra Nova. You know?
No, Terra Nova was just so poorly scripted that it wasn't good. This is, I wouldn't say it was disappointing because I wasn't really expecting anything, but I think that acting wise it was a little I don't think the quality of the acting met up with even the quality of the script actually. I thought that, like, I'm not a big fan of the guy that plays the lead guy in it. Like, maybe it's just going to take some time to grow on him.
Grant Bowler.
Yeah, Graham Bowler, he's kind of doing like a caricature, not really a full kind of thing. And I thought it was really strange to introduce the two characters singing Jackson from like that Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I was like uncomfortable with it. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Like, I understand what they were trying to do was show the relationship of the two, but it just didn't work for me.
Out of the first 2 hours, I think Arissa's character is the most that I, like, got into, you know? Like,
yeah, she really wasn't used that much.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping, like, you know, as the show goes on, we get to know the characters better. Like, I can't even remember all their names right now, but
no.
I think it's just been a 2-hour premiere, and I think it'll be cool as it goes on to get to know the characters. Because right now, I am interested, and I like the idea of all these aliens living together. And I haven't even played the video game. I can imagine if we played the game and watched the show, that might be an interesting experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it'll give you more backstory, at least, on the group of aliens that were moving in to take over Defiance.
I totally love the idea of, like, driving across a post-apocalyptic landscape, like, finding treasures and stuff like that. That's cool.
Yeah. And there was an MMO that I played a number of years ago called Auto Assault, and it was all about, like, you never really saw the human characters. They never got out of the cars. It was, but your character was your car, mm-hmm. and it was like driving across a post-apocalyptic wasteland, kind of like Mad Max, but for an alien planet.
Right.
But yeah, I'm always interested in that. I'm always interested in like that myth building and of the place. And I like the idea of the different aliens kind of coexisting and maybe there's a possibility here. I know that there was a lot of fans of Farscape, but I never happened to get into it, but I think that's kind of what he's going for again is kind of that Farscape vibe.
And there's, I noticed there was they gave Arissa a Han Solo type moment where she was like, she didn't want to save the town. She just wanted to take their winnings and leave.
Yes, and leave.
And she leaves without Nolan. And then she shows up like just like Han Solo at the end when they're battling mm-hmm. and stuff. I thought that was...
With the race that hates humans that she's actually a part of.
Yeah, they're like the marauders who...
Is it a Raffiant?
Yeah, and they ride on motorcycles and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, Mad Max dudes.
And they've got that really strange ridge, like that nose ridge thing.
It kind of reminds me kind of Na'vi-ish, you know,
yeah,
influence.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
But I'm definitely excited to watch more episodes of it.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe I had missed one, but I guess the pilot, the was it an hour and a half, like 84 minutes was all of it?
Yeah, it's a 2-hour premiere. Or
all right, I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss one. Like, when does it air again?
Monday night, so it comes on again Monday.
Okay, the 22nd. All right, good.
So that's cool. We'll check it out. And I have a clip here. Basically, Graham Greene's character's son has been killed, and he thinks that Detektar's son...
Yes, we have a little Romeo and Juliet action going on here. The star-crossed other race lovers
and what's interesting,
warring families.
The Detektar family,
I love that name.
Yeah, his wife is like, no, let's let them hook up and get married. Then we'll kill her dad, and then we'll influence everything that she inherits.
Yeah, she was the psycho girl that was on Dexter.
Yeah, and then she was in Spartacus.
Yes, then she was in Spartacus.
Gods of the Arena.
Yeah, Jamie Murray, I believe, is her name.
So let's go ahead and check this out, and good stuff happens, I guess. There is a great part where Nolan kind of lies, and then Arissa calls him out, and he's like, shh, don't talk about it. Let's check this out.
Daytek, let me handle this.
Stop
it!
I have to go to the bathroom. Where's the kitchen?
If you'd hurt Alak, it would be you lying on that floor.
Daytek, go home to your wife and son.
I'd never get his stink off my blade anyway.
Oh, they have these cool, like, pocket lightsabers.
Oh, sure. Then you let carry weapons.
Yeah, like a cold... Was it a cold weapon?
Yeah.
We need a constant plan of finding Luke's killer before the trail goes cold.
What trail? Who'd follow it anyway, now that Clancy's dead?
I'll do it.
You?
Yeah. Me.
I gotta be honest with you, son, that you're no Clancy. You don't have the skills or the balls to do what's got to be done. Find the bastard myself.
No. No way. You almost killed an innocent kid. We need a professional.
We don't have a professional.
Yeah, you do. I'm a tracker by trade.
Are you now?
Yeah, I am.
Podcaster by trade, Bill.
You're looking at the guy who brought in the Miami
bomber. Are you now?
And presented Starin Darty with the head of his sister's murderer. I'll find your killer. For the right price.
You know, his American accent isn't that bad.
Starin Darty's sister is alive and hates your guts.
Details. Shh.
He's one of the defiant few.
All right. Tracker. You find my son's killer. With proof, mind you. And I'll pay you, 20K.
25.
I don't believe I heard you right.
20's good.
On one condition. If you do find the killer, he stays alive so he can stand trial. Are we clear?
Agreed.
Your companion stays with my deputy.
What, you don't trust me?
I'm fresh out of trust tonight. Lock her up.
I wouldn't recommend the handcuffs.
There's this weird, like, cybernetic race where they have these really, like, white, pale skin. Like, they're bald and they're... It's kind of...
They're actually a form of that... the Voltan race. But I was like, after I watched it the other day, I was reading about it.
Are they like cyborg versions of them?
They're like, I think they're called the Indogene.
Yeah, that's it, the Indogene. And the doctor, who has a lot of attitude, I thought was kind of funny. Kind of like the smart
ass
doctor.
Yes, yeah, and they're like, you got to hurry up with that, or how much longer? And he goes, something about no matter how slow she moves, they could always blow up or something. I always liked the spunky characters like that.
And there was there's a part where Nolan is fighting in this like cage match kind of thing for money, for wager, and he had to fight this thing called a Bioman. It was like this.
Yes.
It's like a big robot, right? Or a human robot thing. And he punched him in the butt to get him to turn off. What the hell was that? It was like...
Yeah, and then he got yelled at by... what is his name?
Dataktar.
Dataktar. And Dataktar is actually probably the best actor on the show. Tony Kern, a Scottish actor who was... he's been in a ton of really good stuff. Like, he was in Gladiator, and he was in Blade 2. And what else was
really,
he in?
He looked really familiar. You know, I saw
him with makeup. He's one of those character actors that always shows up in stuff.
Nice.
And I know he was I think what I know him most well for is he played Vincent Van Gogh in the Richard Curtis-directed episode of Doctor Who from a couple seasons ago called Vincent and the Doctor. And it's so emotional. It's like one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who ever. He was just really, really good as Vincent Van Gogh.
Well, you can tell he's really having fun with this role as a character.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite so far on the show. I almost see him and his wife as kind of the Batiatis and Lucretia of Defiance.
Yeah, me too. I got that kind of feeling too. Like, he wants to control all of Defiance. Oh, yeah. There's this weird subplot where, you know, this weird war race came to trample Defiance, but they, you know, they fought them off, and you're like wondering, how did they get here and what happened? And you find out that the woman from Lost, what was his name? Daniel... Shit. You know who I'm talking about? The old mayor of Defiance. She was on Lost. She was the old lady from Lost who worked in the jewelry store and talked to Desmond and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was that character's name? Daniel something, and it was his mom. Wow.
Oh, I can't remember, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
The Jeremy Davies role, his mom on the show.
Yeah. And her name is like Finola Flanagan. I know the actress.
Yeah,
she had something to do with bringing the Volge down.
Yeah, because there's something under Defiance, something going on there. But I love the idea of this kind of deep. I mean, you can't get more sci-fi than this.
But there's something even going on with the Volge that they weren't supposed to be on the arcs. Like that they were actually smuggled onto the arcs because they are from actually a different planet from that Voltanus system
right
that the other races are from. Like they're frowned upon,
and that's one thing I like, that it cuts to like 15 years later and all the humans like know, they all speak the alien language and stuff. I mean, they all understand each other, and they know different customs and stuff. So it's neat, as viewers, we get to see the different things they've invented for the different races and stuff.
Yeah, they've obviously, a lot of thought has gone into the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no consolation prize for losing alphas on sci-fi, but it gives us something else to watch on sci-fi.
Right. They need to get Gary on this show, that actor playing something.
Yes, Ryan Cartwright.
Yeah, they need to get Ryan Cartwright on here.
I was all jealous because I saw on Twitter the other day that Ryan Cartwright and the guy that created Alphas was like on someone's podcast. And I was like, you should be on our podcast, damn it.
Damn it.
If there's any podcast that appreciated Alphas more than any other podcast, it's ours.
No kidding. All right, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Let's do some news.
All right, let's do it. Woohoo!
The news with Mulberry Bill, here he is.
Yep.
There he is.
All right, Weber, get out of the way, buddy. I got reading to do. I do. I do. Sweetheart. Shit. I love you too. Webster, dude, you're getting me pissed off now. Get going. You're cute.
That's so cool, man.
All right. I'm sorry. I have to get my little black orphan to leave me alone.
That's weird, guys.
Okay, here we go. The news.
All right, Bill. What do we have in the news this week?
All right, here. You know, sometimes we're a little strapped for cash, and it turns out that stealing baby formula can pretty much earn you about $90,000 in 6 months.
That's awesome!
A couple who were caught trying to steal $2,400 worth of baby formula from a Palm Springs Walmart store brought their 9-month-old son along on an early morning shoplifting spree. Nice. That's some good parenting. While his parents were jailed, the baby was placed in the care of Florida Department of Children and Family Services. Sonia M. Barber, 32, and her fiancé, Glenn K.C. Martin, were arrested about 3:40 a.m. after two Walmart employees saw Martin leaving the store with a baby stroller covered with a blanket. Baby wasn't in the stroller, though. Instead, they loaded it with about 15 to 24 cans of baby formula.
Nice.
They say they've been stealing baby formula for months and have been selling it for thousands of dollars. How do you do that? Like, is there a baby formula black market?
Where do they come up with a scam?
I have no idea.
Well, both admitted to having pain pill addictions.
Oh.
And they spend up to $125 a day on the addiction.
End of conversation.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Addiction. That'll destroy you.
I didn't know there was a black market for baby formula.
That was my skull.
Yeah, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, who knew?
In the creepy old man news, in Siesta Key, Florida, Sarasota County Sheriff's Office has arrested an Illinois man after they say he exposed himself to teenage girls swimming at Siesta Key Beach.
I'm not putting that in my mouth, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you know that that always works whenever you're a creepy old man and you see young girls and you just kind of show your junk to them. That's just going to make them go, oh my gosh, he's so attractive. Let me at him.
Now back off and let me pee.
Yeah, don't guys realize that it's not like a pair of breasts?
No, it's women are not like men.
Yeah, you can't like a woman, an attractive woman could probably flash her boobs and everyone's going to go, whoa, but you flash that, everyone's like, call the police.
Yeah.
It's like they don't get it.
The exact opposite reaction.
Dick.
Yeah. On Thursday around 2:30 p.m., Sarasota County Lifeguard alerted deputies to 69-year-old Tom Petcher of Hillsborough, Illinois, after
that's
two 14-year-old girls said he had his swim trunks around his ankles and tried to brush one of the girls' legs with his buttocks. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I accidentally touch you with my flabby 69-year-old ass? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Look at me. Ain't I special?
Trust me, it was just an accident.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Let me get a look at his penis.
As the girls moved away from her, Petcher floated on his back with his genitals exposed.
Anyone for penis?
He continued this activity for at least 15 minutes, swimming towards the girls every time they tried to get away.
Whatever, man. I don't care about anything.
He just assumed that maybe they were taken by the riptide and he was going to go save them with his...
Oh, come on.
With his old man penis.
Wow.
Yikes.
Old man penis.
Webster, get out of here. All right. Next.
Little floppy penis.
For some reason, there's this phenomena that people love sharing illegal activities on YouTube. And if you share the illegal activity online, it kind of proves that you were participating in an illegal activity and therefore can be used against you in a court of law.
You're going to call the police on me?
Yeah, a 5-minute video opens with a man cruising along in his car, cracking open a bottle of what appears to be Beck's beer and taking a swig. we all know that drinking and driving is against the law. You're not supposed to do that, but they didn't say anything about driving, then drinking, the man says to the camera. You just have to be learned enough to understand the symbols of drunkenness.
So he's being a smartass, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's being a total asshole. And like, way too old to be an asshole. That much of an asshole. that's like something you'd expect a teenager to do, and this guy is in his 50s. Yeah. Grow up.
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Yeah, this guy happens to be in Hawaii, but he is still an old douchebag. It's unbelievable, a reporter said to CNN. There was no beer in the bottle. The gold beer here. God be here? That's his last name. G-O-D-B-E-H-E-R-E. God be here. God not be there. there was no beer in that bottle. So he put water in the bottle and then recapped it for the video.
Oh.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Guys, moron, man. But, you know, anyone who does that and they put it on YouTube, they are pretty much morons.
Yeah, you're cruising for a bruising, basically.
Crazy drunk driver.
okay, now, speaking of another drunken idiot, Bloomington, Minnesota. Bloomington police say a man tossed from the local hotel for being drunk early Wednesday morning made matters worse when he commandeered the hotel's shuttle van and crashed it into a stand of trees.
Nice.
He's the drunk guy.
Yeah, he really commandeered the hell out of that shuttle. Oh, now get this. Commander Kevin Herman says officers were called. Jesus. Were called into the Quality Inn Suites at American Boulevard around 3 a.m. on reports of a drunk man causing a commotion.
How do you explain that?
Staff members told police they asked the man to leave about the time the hotel shuttle pulled up to the entrance. Witnesses say when the driver left the keys in the ignition and ran inside, the drunk man ran out, jumped in the van, and stole it.
Well, are you drunk?
Maybe he just thought he was leaving it there for him. Like, you know, a ride.
Hey, man, I'm going to do you guys a favor and park this for you.
I'm going to take this for you, and thank you.
Bye.
See you later.
Good times.
Here's another Hollywood bad idea. Even though I like the actor Tom Hiddleston, it sounds like he is going to be cast as Eric Draven in Relativity Media's reimagining of The Crow.
That's one franchise they just need to put away, bro. Yeah, fire it up,
hopefully,
Bill.
Hopefully, much like Skank, this will be dead also.
Skank?
This canary's gonna need to eat some crow.
Skank?
Skank's dead.
That's one of our go-to lines anytime we're playing Borderlands, if anybody wants to know.
Because like there's the pretty lies.
There's skanks in the game, so every time we see a skank.
Skank's dead. Skank. Can Biling please reprise her role, Bill?
Oh my god, I would love that.
I very
because after
much
all,
like...
she likes the pretty lights.
I like the pretty lights.
You do. You good for you, sweetheart.
You do enjoy the pretty lights, don't you?
Look at you and your pretty lights.
I say, boo, 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 boo.
His butt lights up.
Oh. Well, maybe if that guy's butt lit up, maybe they wouldn't have arrested him. Like, hey, look, this guy is special. All right, moving on. In Surrey, British Columbia, the cookie... Oh, this is just poor journalism. The cookie crumbled the wrong way for a pair of thieves when a home invasion led police in Surrey to thousands of cookies believed to be laced with marijuana. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police say a 22-year-old man interrupted two intruders in his home on Thursday and was struck on the head with a crowbar. A crowbar? Was it Martin Freeman? It's Half-Life.
Ooh, cookies. Ah,
cookies! Despite the attack, the victim managed to fight off his assailants. The investigation led police to another home where they discovered an amount of marijuana and 8,000 cookies thought to be loaded with the marijuana.
Here they are right here. Boom. Out the ass. Cookies out the ass. You want some cookies? What is what?
I think he's been eating a few of those cookies. Now police say two women in the second home, along with the man assaulted in the original home, are facing drug charges. Look what they went and did. They just ruined it for everyone.
I'm just really...
I wonder, like, I know that, isn't it, I thought it was legal in Canada, or maybe I'm confusing somewhere with somewhere else. I don't know, but I didn't think, it's only pot cookies, come on, yeah, man.
Come on, man.
What is he, pots?
It's freaking 420, man.
Yeah, dude, woohoo!
Pass them cookies around.
I'm so wasted!
You know, this is really crazy. Lately, obesity has been kind of getting out of control. I was certainly part of that group. But what happens when you're 800 pounds and you can't afford to be buried or a coffin won't fit you, so your family decides you're going to get cremated? Right. Well, what happens whenever you light oil on fire?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you got to think about all that fat. That's an accelerator.
This is more serious than I thought. Apparently your mother is amorously infatuated with you.
What?
No, I have no idea what that has to do with it. But Stephen and Lee Ein's neighborhood, or neighbor, wrote a public notice and dropped it off at their home along with some pictures of black smoke coming from the Paradise Memorial Gardens and Crematory in Scottsdale, Arizona. I saw it when I got home last week, and it was pretty disgusting to think about. The Eines are now concerned about their health. It's not like there are pieces of bones flying through the air, but it's soot. Soot from anywhere isn't pleasant, Lee said. The public notice suggests the soot is human soot, something responsible cremationist Jim Earn denied. It is not human soot. Earn has worked at Paradise Memorial Gardens for more than 40 years and runs a crematory. He described what happened 2 weeks ago as probably the worst incident that we've had.
Are you serious?
We had a very large individual, around 800 pounds, that was cremated, and it did create smoke and smoked for about half an hour and was bad smoke.
I don't believe I heard you right.
Yeah. Now the air quality department is investigating. They've asked for records, scheduling of when they burn, blah, blah, blah. But that's what happens. I've heard it before where very obese people, they get cremated. You know, when that fat breaks down and that fire catches it, it just like any oil, it burns and it smokes and it's gross.
Oh, sure.
Wow, and it lasts for a very long time. And a lot of those places aren't equipped to handle it. And at times the fires can get out of control.
Man, that's crazy.
So if you're planning on, you know, getting cremated, lose some weight, people. And finally,
when you die, lose some weight.
Lose some weight.
It's too late. They're dead.
If you well, you know, in case you're planning on dying anytime soon, you should lose some weight. Finally, in news of Americans being assholes. On Twitter, whenever Obama came on to give the speech, I think it was it Friday around like 11:50? Well, he interrupted The Price is Right, and a lot of people on Twitter just did not appreciate that.
How dare they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it says a couple people, you know, Price is Right showcase, better than Obama talking. Another person, Obama always interrupting The Price is Right. Another person,
is
I don't care about CBS's.
Is this because of the Boston bombing thing, Bill?
Yes, yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, Lord, I'm 100% serious.
Wow.
Obama, please make them turn The Price is Right back on. I just want to know if Katrina wins. Couldn't CBS wait until Price is Right is over to have Obama's speech? I don't care about CBS's stupid news report. Put Price is Right back on. Live it. Hashtag live it. Hashtag stupid news. Hashtag IDC. Which means I don't care.
acting like a little bitch, okay?
I mean, this is, you know, this is just typical for assholes.
Wow.
I mean, come on, it's The Price is Right, people.
It's the same price shit every day. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same shit every day.
You know what? You. You.
Yeah. So, and that's, I think that pretty much caps off. Oh, you know what? No, let's cover one more thing here. This week, in addition to the Boston thing, there was a bit of trauma, and you know, something rather bad happened in West Texas.
Oh yes,
a fertilizer plant basically exploded, destroyed what they're saying like around 100 homes and killed a lot of the first responders that were there on the scene.
Yeah, I was telling you about that that night when it happened because I talked to you about West Texas because a lot of people, we've stopped there before, a lot of people do, because the food is insane. It's like this Czech settlement where they have all this kolaches and stuff. I mean, it's just awesome. And it's known as a place where, hey, if you're ever going to Austin or something or that way, stop in West and have some food there. And I remember telling you about that place while you were here, and then that fertilizer thing, that factory exploded. And then you sent me that video where the guy was filming the fire from his car, and then it goes off.
Yeah.
And you hear his kid saying, "Let's get out of here. I can't hear.
I can't hear. Please just leave." It's heartbreaking. The fear in the kid's voice. It's shocking. Yeah, it's
very upsetting video. But
there was another video from a different direction. Like somebody was on the opposite side of the building, a couple, you know, 100 yards out. And there was, you could see the blast wave from the explosion.
Wow.
Like you can see it, you can see the explosion raise and then just that like dome, that blast wave go off. It's shocking, like the amount of power that was in that thing.
Wow.
And apparently I was reading somewhere that that particular fertilizer plant hadn't had a safety and health inspection, an occupational safety health inspection from OSHA since 1985, and you have to report if holy you have shit. like I think even just like 500 pounds of this certain type of ammonia.
Yeah, ammonia nitrate.
Yeah, ammonia. And they had 280 tons.
Wow.
Like they had way too much, and they hadn't been inspected or reported what they had since 1985. So that company is in serious caca.
So the owner of that place is in serious legal trouble.
Well, beyond legal trouble, I would almost have to think
he's
that
responsible.
It's criminal. I mean, he's responsible for multiple people's deaths.
Basically, people were living there next to a megaton bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Just within distance of their homes.
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy.
I don't believe I heard you right.
No, it's true.
Yeah, it's really is a bad, bad situation. But what I wanted to say was that there's going to be a benefit show that's being put together by Willie Nelson.
Oh, good.
He's going to play the concert benefit at West Texas Volunteer Fire Department. 14 people died, 200 injured, 150 homes destroyed, 3 rescue trucks, fire truck. So they lost a lot of people and a lot of equipment. Willie Nelson said, "West is just a few miles from my hometown of Abbott. I was born and raised here, and it was my backyard growing up. This is my community. These friends and neighbors have always been and are still part of my life. My heart is praying for the community that we call home, and they're going to start doing these shows. And the first one is April 28th in Austin. So hopefully that it'll help those people get back on their feet." But that was just a horrible thing. And there's actually aerial shots of where the plant was, and there's like a black crater in the ground.
That's
like there's
insane.
Just there's nothing there.
I don't understand how they went without being inspected all that time.
Well, you know what? It's a slip up on both parts. The fact that OSHA hadn't recognized that they hadn't been inspected or hadn't received any reports of the amount of chemicals they had there. So it's really, you got to fault all sides on it.
Yeah. Were there people just outright vaporized from that?
Yeah, that's what would happen. Yeah, that's crazy. Exactly what would happen, because so much oxygen is sucked out of the atmosphere at that point that it would just, it's like an atom bomb going off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just vaporized. There's nothing left. The only way there would be anything left, or even if you would survive, if the person happened to be behind one of those rescue trucks just to stop the blast wave from hitting them and the vehicle taking the brunt of it.
It starts making you think about, what do I live near? Like,
yeah, no shit.
What kind of places? I know we live right next to a water treatment facility.
Well, unless they have like a hydrogen thing, like it's harvesting the water. Like the things in Oblivion, sucking the seawater up.
Yeah.
I don't think you got to worry about it.
I hope not. Oh. Hopefully we're fine.
Yep, and that's news for this week.
Isn't that cool, man?
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news. What do you say we get into some DVDs?
Let's do it.
We don't have Steven here, so let's have TRS-80 sing.
She's pretty good. I'm impressed by her abilities.
This is what she's here for. Let's check it out. Ow!
Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. 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 DVDs, HD Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs. Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody.
Not being used to my ability.
No, you're not, Steven.
Well, how can we use your ability if
you're not
here?
Thank you, TRS-80. All right, Bill, what do we have in DVDs this week?
All right, let's go by date. Let's do date. Okay, so DVDs for April 23rd, 2003. We are starting with a film I actually wanted to see for a while now. This Alan Cummings and Garrett Dillahunt. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a film called Any Day Now, about this couple in the 70s, that a gay couple, where one is like an attorney, and there's a woman there's a child that is abandoned by its mother, and the child has Down syndrome, and the Alan Cumming and Garrett Dillahunt characters take the child in and become the family he never had. And then their living arrangement is discovered, and they're forced to fight this legal battle to keep the child with Down syndrome as their own. And I've been wanting to see it. I saw the trailer a while back, and I was wondering what happened to it. And that's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Check it out. Any day now.
I wouldn't have taken you for the brainy type.
Oh, that's just rude.
Hey, Bill, when is the Young Einstein Anniversary 3-disc Blu-ray coming out?
I have no idea.
3 discs?
What are they going to put on, for 3 discs?
Yeah, what the hell?
Is there an international cut, American cut, and just a cut that no one wanted? Which is all 3 cuts?
That sounds like to me a conflict of artistic interest.
Or the behind the scenes with Yahoo Sirius 4-hour documentary.
Yeah, I totally like that. You know what? Back in the day, I remember reading an interview with him where he traveled across America writing the script to Young Einstein in an old used car he bought.
Wow, that was... Well, you know what? Good for him, because it actually made money.
Yeah, I wish he would have filmed it, and it would be a nice documentary for the 3-disc box set.
Absolutely, he should have. I hope Criterion's releasing that.
I'm from Tasmania.
I split the beer, Adam.
I invented rock and roll.
I made Reckless Kelly.
Yes, he did.
Oh, boy. Okay. Moving on, we have Cheech and Chong's animated movie.
Oh, come on.
Really?
I have no idea, but it was made in 2012, so I guess maybe they decided to make an animated film since no one would pay for a live action.
Yeah, sounds cool. Cheech and Chong's animated movie.
Hey, Cochise!
Hey, Cochise.
That's weird, guys.
Now we have Gangster Squad.
Oh, hell yeah.
DVD and Blu-ray with Ryan Reynolds. No, not Ryan Reynolds. What's that guy's name? Shit. Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
I always get those handsome young men confused.
It's a five-guy gangbang.
No, it's not.
Excuse me?
It's a gangster squad, not five-guy gang.
It's got Josh Brolin, and they're all capping bad guys, right?
Yeah, and Emma Stone looks fantastic in it.
I'm wondering if it's any good.
I have a feeling it's a massive turd. Like, I mean, come on, it's already out on DVD and Blu-ray already?
Well, that's how fast any movie comes out, right?
No.
It's not?
No. Not when it was just released in late January and it's April.
I remember I wanted to see it, like, opening weekend, because I'm figuring, like, I love that kind of time period I've talked about before.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see, like...
Plus, Sean Penn looks just awesome as Mickey Cohen. I mean, he just looks insane.
I just love that time period and all the, like, you know, Tommy guns and all that shit. I totally want to see that.
I think you and I should go back in time to Los Angeles. Look at the nerd. Of like 1949, like just after World War II. And
well, like, the way that like LA Confidential, it looks like LA was like almost like the Old West, the way you could get capped.
Yeah, that's what I'm understanding.
Or like even the game LA Noir, like there are gunfights and shit everywhere.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm all for it. Let's go.
That's awesome.
By the way,
awesome sauce.
LA Noir, I love that game, just the detail in it. I know we talked about it before, but there's parts where like you could look at hamburgers like grilling on the, the little burger stand and stuff.
Look at that hamburger, and it's grilling. Fries.
Yeah, man, that's awesome, man.
When did I get stabbed?
Okay. Yeah, but that's one of those games that makes a huge misstep in the last bit of it, and it, like, switches your main character, and it's so discombobulating
mm-hmm.
that it's just like, wait, what? I was attached to that character. Why am I now playing this?
What happened to Cosgrove from Mad Men, who I was playing? Now I'm this other dude who's, like, a reporter.
The hell is this guy? Why am I playing him now?
I stopped playing the game at that point, and I never finished it.
You never finished it.
I was the reporter.
It's actually got a really good ending. It's just so off-putting that, it's...
Do you ever go back to playing the cop guy, or you just stay the reporter
No, the cop guy's done.
So isn't that weird? Why did they decide to do that?
I don't know. I cannot tell you why. It drove me crazy to the point where it was like, okay, now I just need to finish this and get it over with.
I'll never forget. It was so weird, like... In the Metal Gear game, Sons of Liberty, you're Snake, and then you become a different guy, Raiden, in the game, and that was really off-putting. Like, what the hell just happened? Why am I this dude?
Oh, yeah, there's what is that? I think there's actually a Raiden game out now called, like, Metal Gear Uprising or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what the reviews are like for it. Normally I check out all the Metal Gear games, but this one's just not on my radar, I guess.
How do you explain that?
Or maybe it's Revengeance, whatever the hell is Revengeance.
Metal Gear Revengeance.
What, that's not even a word.
Yeah, it's not a word.
Do I make myself clear?
Revengeance or... I'm so confused already. Damn you, Japanese crazy people.
Yeah, man, what?
That was my skull!
Yeah. All right, moving on, we have... Oh, man, it looks like there's a direct-to-video Wayans Brothers movie called A Haunted House.
Ooh, haunted.
Yeah, that I guess.
Scary.
Looks horrible, of course. What this shit ain't paranormal. Oh, well, that's a really good tagline. And, I don't know who Sean Edwards from Fox TV is, but no, Sean Edwards, this is not the funniest scary movie ever. Sorry.
What?
Yeah, that's the tagline on the front of it. So, if you're really interested, why not check out this piece of shit? Yeah. Hilarious.
Okay.
And moving on, we have The Impossible with Ewan McGregor, Naomi Watts, Tom Holland, or directed by Tom Holland. It's the movie about the family that is separated by the tsunami in Thailand.
Nothing in this world is impossible.
Yes, based on a true story. Supposed to be an excellent film. Haven't watched it yet.
That's impossible.
Mm-hmm. No, nothing's impossible, actually, they say.
Oh, so it's The Impossible, but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
This is Mission Impossible.
No, it's actually quite possible.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confused.
So am I. So let's move on to Promised Land with Matt Damon and John Krasinski and Frances McDormand.
Impossible. Written... Absolutely impossible.
No. No, it's not. I believe this was written by John Krasinski and Matt Damon, produced by Chris Moore, who was the guy from Project Greenlight.
Well, I promised my mom I'd be home for dinner.
Mm-hmm. No, well, that's the promised land of nuggets. corn dogs.
Oh, is that what the movie's about? It's about shirts, and he goes home for nugget night?
Yep, and it's about his dog.
But it's nugget night.
Yes. Shit, what was his dog's name?
You don't remember his dog's name?
No, it's just out of my head. It's...
Okay, well, this will tell you what his name is. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
No, Spunky. This is my corn dog.
Spunky!
Oh, I should have named Webster Spunky. Oh, damn it. I love it. Yes, I would totally go see Promised Land if it was all about shirts making his way home for Nugget Night.
Hot dogs and Cheetos.
And with hot dogs and Cheetos.
I love shirts. Yeah, Promised Land, that's about like the dude going in, he wants to frack everything.
Yes, he wants to just frack the shit out of everyone.
He wants to frack! I guess.
Yeah, he meets a girl in a bar, and he wants to frack her.
It's so easy, but it's funny.
Yes, it is.
Get your motherfucking hands off me!
So basically, he wants to buy up the land, and John Krasinski knows what he's up to.
Yes, he wants to. That's the whole thing. These big gas companies come into these towns and say, you have an exceedingly large amount of gas in you. I want to stick my fracker in it.
Fracking mouth.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what happened to my grandma. Is she's on my grandfather's old farmland. She doesn't use it anymore. And this company came to her and was like, "We want to frack your land.
Gasoline.
We pay you an absurdly large amount of money if you just let us destroy your land."
Right.
I don't think laughing gas is a laughing matter.
That's what they're doing to these people, and it's turning out that whenever they do this fracking, they use this, they use all kinds of horrible, horrible chemicals. And if it isn't just the chemicals, it's the fracking cause is fractures in the ground.
It causes earthquakes.
Which can not only cause earthquakes, they release these gas deposits, like methane gas deposits, into groundwater, which then, you know, migrates into your well, if you have well water, and ruins the water. It becomes toxic. You can no longer drink it. The chemicals that are inserted into the ground can then destroy the ecosystem, can kill the animals, it's just, there's so much wrong with the fracking process and the claim of clean energy harvested in a environmentally safe way. It's all bullshit. I am going to destroy you. It's total bullshit. Just, you know, see those, Josh Fox's Gasland.
All those fracking things are around here, and you see they build giant walls around the fracking things, and they have the frack ponds right next to it. It makes it look like they're covering up what they're doing. Like, you can't see this.
That's because they are.
This is nasty. Just,
it's not good for the environment. It's not good for your family. It's not good for the ecosystem. No matter how much money they promise you, that gas, that natural gas in the shale underneath us, if you can't access it in a safe way, you shouldn't be doing it at all. And don't tell us it's safe when it's not.
Can I go take a dump?
No. There's no shitting on my watch.
Yeah, there's no time for that right now.
No. Oh, come on.
We're doing the DVDs. Sit down. Appreciate it. Pinch your cheeks together. Deal with it. And I just lost my page.
Oh, shit!
Frack you. All right, moving on. We have... You know what? I'm going to do this one specifically for Severin.
Frack you.
Hey, watch yourself, Colonel Ty. We have the Looney Tunes Superstars DVD, Sylvester and Hippity Hopper.
All right, I love Looney Tunes.
Oh wait, was that wasn't Colonel Ty that said "frack you"? Was it?
That was Adama.
That was Adama. Sorry, the last one was Colonel Ty. So, this is 18 cartoons of marsupial mayhem, Sylvester Pussycat, what's that, Doc? And the hyperactive young kangaroo Hippity Hopper go on to become Warner Brothers' most reliable, hilarious animated duos. So there you go, featuring 17 never before seen on DVD. So it's Cat versus Giant Mouse.
You've got troubles, Mac.
I bet you Severin would love these.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So those are Severin.
I had 20 years in this outfit when your idea of a big time was sitting in front of the TV tube, watching Bugs Bunny, and gnawing on your fudgesicle.
What's so bad about that?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I want to do that.
Mind-boggling.
I'm getting some kind of weird feedback
or
something. What
is that? I've heard that through the entire show. That's what I was talking about earlier. It sounds like little internal burps.
It's like bzz, bzz. It kind of like sounds like it's near like a cell phone or something. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Or like, are you near an old CRT television trying to get in UHF channels?
I'm not, but I should be.
Oh, okay.
All right. And finally, this one's for the Criterion nerds. We have the Richard III on Blu-ray and DVD. And this is the directed by Laurence Olivier version.
I'm sorry for that, Richard.
So, yes, I'm sorry about that also, Richard.
Richard?
Dick. The third Dick.
F you, I'm out of here. This place sucks.
Oh.
Hey.
All right.
What is that all about?
I don't know. But that's DVD and Blu-ray for this week. Yay.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're so welcome.
Awesome.
Let's do that again and pretend you guys aren't weird.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Turn that gay ass music off.
That's awesome!
Yeah! Woohoo! All right, that's enough. Everybody, that was our show, episode 271 of Nowhere in Mulberry. No, oops, of Entertainment Landfill.
Yep. Oops. What was that music from? It sounded like a really painful fart.
That was the theme music to Defiance.
Was it?
By Bear McCreary.
I hope his butt's okay.
Hey, Bill, I have to introduce somebody.
Who? Entertainment Landfill with Emma.
Hi, oh, Bill. Emma!
Bill said, hey, Emma.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Emma!
She's not actually on a headset, so she couldn't hear you. Oh, can you hear okay. him, Emma?
Hello!
Say hi, Emma.
Hello!
Here, Emma. Just say hi.
Hello!
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Emma. How are you?
I'm great.
I miss you.
I really miss you, too.
I'll probably see you in a couple months.
Yay!
So I'll be back down and we'll make breakfast again.
Okay.
All right.
Bye!
Give them big hugs.
Big hugs. Big digital hugs.
What is a phonic hug, anyway?
Phonic hug? That's a hug of sound.
A sound hug.
It's not only sound in its... It's amount of love, but it's sound in the actual sound.
Hugs and kisses, you too.
Oh, you too, TR Sadie.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Well, guys, that was episode 271 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank mm-hmm. you for checking us out. This is our rare Saturday show. I'm sorry that Steven couldn't be here, but he's going to see Bob Mold. Which grows on bread when you leave it out too long.
It does. It sounds fantastic also.
It turns green.
And hairy.
When I think of mold, for some reason I remember that part from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where the mold is on the pizza and they go...
You know, I have to say I don't remember that. But
you don't remember that? They're like, hey, no. Old pizza. And they open it up and there's mold on it. And they do like a funeral for the pizza.
I'm surprised they didn't eat it anyways.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, man. I've seen that movie way too many times.
You have. But you know what? They have them. They keep trying to sell them for like $5 on Blu-ray at Best Buy. So I think I'm going to pick up these.
The mutant guy.
Oh, I totally want to. The first one I'd like to watch again.
Yeah, the second two I can do without. But the first one
hey,
I want.
Hey, y'all shut the hell up.
Hey. I know you want to touch that, but don't. It's the recorder that's recording the show.
Don't touch that. Sorry.
The show will explode.
Sorry.
Good times.
That's awesome.
Well, guys, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, and you can find our show. You could also find a link to...
Link to what?
Facebook page.
You can find a link to the Nowhere in Mulberry fan club on Facebook. That's where we're honestly the most active. We talk all the time. We post videos or links about wacky stuff. And even Steven interacts on there from time to time. Right, Bill?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's shocking.
Yeah, and really, that's better than our forum, which was always dead anyway.
Yeah, it really was. It was a waste of time because no one ever went to it. And now Swiley does his own little thing on his page whenever there's feedback. What's feedback?
Yeah, whenever there's feedback. It's always a pleasure when he leaves his feedback.
I wouldn't have taken you for the brainy type.
Yeah, he's very brainy and he leaves.
He is brainy and he always cracks me up.
I'm so wasted.
Yeah. Also, send an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us a voicemail at, don't have the number in front of me, Bill, at 1206-339-1239. Send us a voicemail.
Look how quick you pulled that out.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Fancy.
Yeah, I'm just a cool dude, you know what I'm saying?
You really are.
Wow, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even TRS-80 recognizes your impressiveness.
You know what else is impressive, Bill? Do
What's
you want to know what that is?
That's I do.
Really impressive?
Very.
Yeah, me too. I
Because I lived in Asia for a year.
Yeah, that's it. Wow.
All of Asia.
Yeah, all of Asia. Like, the entire place all at once.
The massive continent of Asia.
You know it, buddy Roe.
I lived in Asia for a year, so I'm going to nail it. I lived in Asia for a year.
Because I lived in Asia for a year.
Dan, is that how they serve the rice in Asia, where you lived there for a year?
Hey, Dan, go back to Asia for another year.
Man, Chinese food sounds good right now.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea.
Before we go, Bill, I want to leave you with this word of wisdom.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I will take that, consider it, sleep on it, and I'll get back to you in the morning.
Are you now?
Mm-hmm, I am.
You don't have the skills or the balls to do what's got to be done.
You know what, buddy? You just need to back off and mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah, Graham Greene from Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, the guy that would show up on the Red Green Show on PBS once in a while.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, good times. Well, I hope I know one.
It's okay. Just take a moment.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, Bill. Mm-hmm. But what I was trying to say.
I can't believe we're still here.
Hey, stop it. That's not what I was going
to say. I believe that.
What I was going to say, Bill, was that. I don't even remember.
Who the hell are you?
Emma's lost it. What I was going to say was that.
Hate this hacker crap.
Oh my gosh. She okay?
Lost it. I know that no one listened to the show live, but I hope
no one did.
Listening to the podcast because it's awesome. And Bill, once more, I want to apologize to you for not being here right.
Don't ever apologize to me for that, because I put you through that all the time.
I just can't believe that I did it, honestly. I was shocked that I did that.
Okay. They're not used to the Saturday thing.
Yeah, definitely not. And I wasn't, you know, I got up real early and I was just sleepy. But hey, now, you know, we finished the show and we can do whatever we need to do, right?
Yep.
Can I go take a dump?
That, no. And then I get to go back to the nursing home and put my dad's CPAP mask on.
Oh, I guess he finished.
That was fast. Flush the toilet.
It's kind of fucked up, man.
Yeah, it is.
Little.
Well, Bill, what do you say we check out, man?
All right.
All right, see you later, Bill, and thank you for doing the Saturday show with me. Love it.
No problem.
Saturdays rock, man.
Saturday.
Saturday, Saturday, Saturday.
They got a big day tomorrow.
S-A-T-U-R-T-A-Y, night.
Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know.
That's when this country started falling apart, when they took away Saturday morning cartoons.
That's right, Bill.
I agree with Vincent Taylor Pruitt.
Or Pruitt Taylor Vince.
Or Vince, or Pruitt, Taylor, Vince, Taylor, no, Pruitt, Taylor, Vincent.
Or Jennifer Jason Lee.
Yes, her too. Mary Stuart Masterson.
All right, everybody, see you next time.
Piss off.
Yellow smell like.
Now this is podcasting.
You didn't say the magic word.
That is really insensitive.
I'm sorry, what?
Ah! I think like a little bitch, okay?
Are you now?
How do you explain that?
That sounds like to me a conflict of artistic interest.
You know what? F you.
Oh shit!
Hey, will y'all shut the hell up?
is kind of fucked up, man.
This is nasty.
Can I go take a dump?
Because I lived in Asia for a year.
What a nerd. Look at the nerd. Look at him. Look at the nerd.
End of conversation.
Oh, sure.